Hello, fellow homebrewers. JP here, and I want to introduce to you the brand new Brew-Built X1 Conical Series available at More Beer. More Beer sells the highest standard in homebrewing equipment, and the Brew-Built Conicals are just that. They're made from mirror-polished 304 stainless steel, and they come with loads of features that you and I have been looking for. They have a full 2-inch bottom dump valve, which will eliminate your clogging issues, while the sturdy base includes 4 reinforced legs, just like those big pro tanks do. More Beer also carries the Brew-Built line of options and add-ons like casters, pressure kits, and even external glycol chillers. So you can find out more about the new Brew-Built X1 conical uni tanks by going over to morebeer.com for detailed videos on the entire line of Brew-Built conicals. You can trust Brew-Built with your next fermentation, and you can trust More Beer to find the right conical for you. Brew-Built at morebeer.com.
The Vietnam War, it's over.
Your job's just begun.
A new HBO original limited series.
Welcome to the world of spycraft.
Strap in.
From executive producers Park Chan-wook and Robert Downey Jr.
What are you concealing?
Based on a Pulitzer Prize-winning novel by Viet Thanh Nguyen.
What if I told you that I was a communist spy?
How did you become this?
The Sympathizer. Streaming April 14th on Max. Subscription required.
Home brewers, craft brewers, beer lovers, beer drinkers.
Get ready for an all-new experience in information exchange and beer culture.
Your only source for live beer radio that brings expert brewers from around the globe
right to your home.
You're not just listening to broadcasters. It's the Brewcasters
on the Brewing Network.
Yes, sir. It's Sunday, and you know the time for the Brewcaster Show. I got Johnny P. in the studio with me today.
Hello.
Of course, the great Dr. Scott hanging out.
How y'all doing out there? Good to be back.
And Daniela working the chat room for you guys hanging out today. How are you, Daniela?
I'm doing just fine, thanks. How about you?
I'm doing all right. Ready to do some show today. A couple of changes in the format here at the end.
Yeah. Just a few.
It was a bit of a surprise. Only a small scramble a couple hours before the show to put together a nice one for you. I do regret to inform you, if you have not seen my post, I notified you all as soon as I knew as well. And the great Dan Gordon will not be with us today. He's actually really, really sick.
102 degree fever.
But the cool thing is he even volunteered to maybe even still come down and do the show.
That was the amazing thing. He called John. He's like, I'm really sorry. I'm really sick. I'll do it. I'll do it, man.
I can't drive.
I can't drive because I'm going to pass out.
Yeah.
But I'll do it. How can I get there?
And it's like 50 miles away that he's coming.
It's a long way. Plus, you know it was going to be a long show. So I just, you know, we went ahead and said, you know what, Dan, I really appreciate you wanting to do that for us. But let's get you back when you're at the top of your game and you don't have, I mean, the whole thing was going to be a 5-hour journey for him from between driving down here and doing the show.
The more I think about it now, we probably should have had him come on because that would have given us a little more edge on the beer Jeopardy.
he trounced
stupid.
Us last time.
The handicap.
Stupid.
Yeah, John, you should have jumped all over that.
One rematch, you know.
He also even offered we could have had a call in with him too, but, you know, our take on the Dan is that he's so cool to have in here and so much fun. He's got a lot of energy. He's really a funny guy that we just didn't want to do the appearance over the phone when we can get him in here.
It's not the same.
Yeah, so, it's much better having him here.
So we postponed it, and I hope you guys don't mind. I'm sure you'll understand. He was real apologetic, both to us and to you guys. He knows that you all were looking forward to him, you know, coming on the show, and he likes to do it. And you know, he's just real sorry, but a cool guy. He let us know even earlier. We just you know, we're kind of figuring out what was happening and seeing what we could do. So good guy, Dan. We really wish you well. We've got some Gordon Biersch. We went out and bought our own.
We're gonna drink in his honor.
We're gonna drink in your honor, Dan. Now we didn't buy our own beforehand. going to let you know. Not because we wouldn't have bought Gordon beers, but because you were going to bring us the free stuff.
Yeah, exactly. Not only the free stuff, he gets it right off the bottling line.
Exactly.
Yeah. That was just killer.
We got his Hefeweizen last time that hadn't even been bottled yet. They weren't even selling the stuff. So I think he even bottled it himself that day to bring to us. Although now I understand that it actually is in stores. You can now get the Hefeweizen in stores.
I just saw it at BevMo.
Great, mm-hmm. great Hefeweizen.
Did you buy any?
I got us the Pilsner and I got us the Blonde Bock.
Mm, cool.
I figured you guys liked those the
two
most.
of his greatest beers.
Nothing wrong with the Blonde.
And Justin doesn't handle the Weiss beer very well, so.
Sorry, the wheat thing gets me.
Oh, but, in your belly.
Yeah. So you don't want to talk about how that gets me. So we went out and bought our own, only to honor you, Dan. So we're going to drink your beer today. We got a lot of other beers in here we're going to talk about today, too.
If we can't have him in the studio, at least we'll have his beer.
We'll have
Absolutely.
His beer. So here's what we'll do. In a little later on, we'll crack open some Gordon beers. We'll pour some out for our homies, like they do for the dead homies. We'll pour some out. We'll pour some out for our sick homie, Dan, and enjoy the Gordon beers without you, buddy.
We should have printed out a picture of him just stuck it in that other chair.
That's true.
That would be great. So, Dan, how are things going today?
Quiet
it will be silent then.
That's my job.
So rumors have it that Dan either got sick because he had your beer, Justin, or because he talked to John and got infected with chicken disease.
Oh.
Ooh. That's
below
the
belt. Those are the rumors. Yeah. I don't know.
Probably both. Yeah.
Both are legitimate concerns. I'm actually thinking that our show is done so professionally, and he understands what a big thing it is in the industry, that he got real nervous about being
he
on the second
nervous
time.
On the phone. He did.
Yeah, he was shaking in his shoes.
He's
I'm sure.
I let you down, but I was like, no, it's okay, you'll come back.
I'm not calling on that one.
Well, doesn't waiting on him not make it even better,
Yeah.
It's like you postpone Christmas.
It is. It's the same thing.
So you're bummed, but something's good coming
exactly.
in the future.
Exactly.
Yeah. It's like makeup sex. It's the fight beforehand is worth what the pleasure you receive later.
How come I talk about Christmas and family and you talk about sex? What's wrong with you?
It's all about happiness.
There's love involved.
That's right. It's all about love and happiness.
Oh, gosh.
So we will get Dan rescheduled for you. Don't worry about that. He's happy to come in, and we'll get him all set.
He was going to bring in an oak barrel of some sort.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, I don't know. He didn't really hint what it was.
Oh, wow.
I'm curious. He had all kinds of prizes, giveaways, and stuff, and so he's really bummed.
Oh, yeah, just rub it in.
Yeah. That's cool. Well, get well, my friend, and then next time you come in, we'll do a nice big show, and maybe we'll make it a 6-hour show or something instead.
It will be.
I mean, we were planning to be here late anyway. I'll tell you, on one note, I was worried about missing The Sopranos tonight. It's the season premiere. They haven't been on in years.
Italian you.
Oh, it's the best thing ever.
Forget about it.
Since I know The Sopranos, I don't care about Justin anymore.
Yeah, it's a...
Wow. See?
It's great.
It's awesome. A great show, and it's back, and tonight's the premiere. I think it's at 9.
Yeah, it is 9.
So we are going, with Dan here, we may just have made it off the air by 9.
We wanted to go out and buy a VCR recorder, or what is that thing called?
TiVo.
TiVo, that's the word, yeah.
Yeah, we were real concerned about missing that, but now we're going to see it. So
you're set
about that. Yeah. I'm going to put on my Italian slippers, and
there's the silver lining right there.
It's always a silver lining, folks.
Your Italian slippers.
So you get to dump us early and go watch Sopranos. Everybody does. Enjoy that. We do still have some cool things planned for you. Here's what we're going to do for the show today. We're going to make an open forum. Instead of doing our lager discussion, we really feel like Dan would have done the lager discussion better as far as being here and you guys being able to ask a professional who's trained on lager beers in Germany and really kind of ask him all of the questions. And we didn't want to do a lager show without him and then kind of make it redundant when he came back in here. And plus, we didn't want to say all the wrong stuff and then have him come and correct us later, right? Which is really only on my part. So what we're going to do is not do the lager discussion today and go ahead and postpone that for the Dan when he comes back. And instead, we're just going to open up the forum to you guys. Any questions you might have. Occasionally, I get questions from the chat room when we have a guest in here. We're in the middle of a discussion, and they're way off topic. They're just about some random part of the brew process, and I can't really throw them in because it just doesn't go with the flow. And I hate to do that, but sometimes you're just in the middle of a discussion and it has to be done. So today, you guys can be as random as you want, and it can be from the most beginning question to the most advanced question. We don't care. Just send them in. If you want to know about ingredients or any part of the process or equipment, building things, I do already have a couple questions just from the email about some equipment things. And so just feel free to ask us whatever you want. I think we're going to start that at the 6 o'clock hour like we normally would start our discussion. So just get your questions ready, and it's your forum, guys. And here's what we're going to do. If you've got a lot of questions and you want to know stuff, we're going to stick around and answer them. If not, we're going to call it a night. You know,
watch Sopranos.
Watch Sopranos. And not just because we want to bail. Sopranos doesn't start till later. But, you know, because we're just not going to ramble on if you guys don't want to know about the beer stuff. And we still want to be here to perform a service and get some questions answered. And what are you laughing at?
Perform a service?
Yeah. I can perform a service off the air, but I'm talking about answering the beer questions here. So get them ready. If you got questions, we'll stick around and we'll answer them. If not, we'll call it a night and we'll see you next week.
Does it have to be about beer?
I guess you can ask whatever you want.
Doc will answer those.
So that's the deal today. Skype is working, folks, if you want to call in on Skype. I won't always be able to see the calls because I don't have the ringer, you know, on. But
sounds
we'll
like
have
an endangered bird.
Skyping,
Skype.
Yeah.
Skype.
Yeah, we're going to watch out for your Skype. I'll tell you what, Skype has just gone nuts since I since we announced it last week. Danielle is just throwing things around in here.
Angry.
Skype works great. It's a great service. Go to Skype.com if you don't know about it. Our screen name that you can reach us at is The Brewing Network, and feel free to call us in on that. Of course, we have the old traditional landline you can call in at 888-401-BEER, and you can ask your questions there. We're happy to take them, too. We do need some of you guys to call in because at 5:30 we're going to do Beer Jeopardy today.
Yeah.
I had that all planned for Dan, and I figure no reason we shouldn't do that.
Absolutely.
We got Doc and John here. They'll play. We can take a Skype contestant, and we can take a phone contestant. So we can get cool. Two listeners playing for themselves this week, which is something we've never been able to do before.
That's kind of what you wanted.
I want two listeners.
Without spending $5,000 on a new phone.
It's exactly. I wanted to be able to take multiple callers and get them on the air. Now we can do that. So I'll announce that just before we take a break. We'll take one Skyper and one caller, and we'll do Beer Jeopardy at 5:30.
First question from the chat room, is Dr. Scott in his underwear?
What do you want to know?
What color?
No, they want to know if you're only wearing your underwear because you announced last week, I believe, that you would be sitting here without your pants on.
Oh, it was going to be the jammy show.
No,
we were the jammies. No, I forgot about the jammy show.
We were going to have a pajama jammy
show. All right. I think that's what he was asking for anyways.
But without Dan, we figured, you know, no pajama jammy jam without Dan. So we're just, everybody's fully clothed today. Are you staying tonight for a jammy jam? You got to bail tonight anyway.
I'm tired now.
Yeah.
And I want to be on for tomorrow morning. So sleeping on your floor, couch next to the toilet. I don't want to be doing that.
None of those things are going to help.
Right?
I'll tell you, I was a little under the weather last Monday anyway, so I didn't want to do the same thing again this Monday and feel like that anyway. If you don't know Doc and John, of course, Doc's running the Jameel show for Jameel for the next 2 weeks, and John's going to be with him because Jameel's out of town in Europe. So tomorrow morning they're doing the Wit show.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be at 10 a.m. And then 2 weeks from then they're doing the Martzen
Oktoberfest mm-hmm. show.
Two good shows for Doc to be involved in there too.
I'm going to listen.
Yeah, I did. You know, it just happened to be the two things that I like the most. So
I have to do homework now to keep up with this guy.
Keep up with the Doc. Yeah.
Still on Jameel, but
another question Scott. Already.
Excellent.
It's going nuts here. And this question is directed to Justin. Justin, how do we hook up our propane cylinder?
That's funny.
That's easy. Here's what you do. The first thing, you get lots of newspaper and other paper objects all around. You just hand tighten everything. Don't bother using a wrench on any of the fittings. Just hand tighten them. And then any leaks, if you smell propane,
check with a...
Just stuff paper all around the leak. Just wrap it in paper, and you'll be fine.
I thought you'd check with a flame, like a lighter.
Yeah, lighter.
Go over everything with a lighter.
You do, but not until you stuff it all with paper, because then you won't really get the full effect of being able to find it.
And masking tape.
And masking tape.
So for everybody who missed that, this is how you did it. Is that right?
It's pretty close to how I set up my propane.
And you're still alive. That's kind of surprising.
He has no eyebrows, but
it did catch fire. The hose going to the tank did catch fire. There was a mad scramble, which included me throwing myself on the grenade, basically. I had to run around, turn off the gas, then put out the flame. And
I thought you just ran around with your hands in the air going, fire, fire, fire.
I didn't, actually. You're right. And Daniela came out and did all the brave work.
I just had a picture of you with your avatar.
Yeah.
That lady's naked. Yeah. Right in the room.
Another one for Justin. Justin, how do you hook up with a hot German girl?
Apparently, you act like an idiot.
You can buy them online, can't you?
You got half a brain. Yeah, you can. There's a mail order service. I'll tell you, it doesn't hurt to have your own radio show. It's it's a very effective means of meeting chicks.
Well, hang on. When I met you, you didn't have a radio show then.
No.
It was in his head.
Yeah, I did in my head.
So let me rephrase. How do you hook up with a hot German girl and being broke at the same time?
You make sure the German girl's not broke.
Yeah, they're all good questions. I don't know. It must have something to do with my
mojo.
My mojo, my personality, the size of my junk. I really don't know. But it obviously isn't my bank account and probably isn't my looks. So you might have to answer that question yourself. I don't know.
I put a big question mark in there.
All good questions. If you want the real answer to these questions, there is a thread under the forum, and it's called the Lunch Meat Prize under Beer Radio. Click on that, and it's my gift to all of you guys there at home today. So check that out. All right. Lots to do in...
Oh, my God!
You've got mail.
Kick ass.
The inbox was pretty full this week, guys.
Good and bad, or...
Mostly good this week, actually. Some good suggestions and things to talk about.
Look at Doc here.
He's playing the air Joe. The air banjo.
Yeah.
We're still waiting on you bringing that bad boy in. Because what I want to happen is for you play the banjo during this segment instead of me doing the regular one. I'll just have you play it the whole time.
It's loud and obnoxious.
That's cool. I can turn the volume right, you know. Get it right. We'll put you over in
put
the corner.
Me in the corner.
Put Doc in the corner. Microphone it all up, and we'll get a live version of the inbox song.
Want to do a duo, Doc?
Sure.
All right, let's do it.
Yeah, there's a little drum back there. Actually, it's more the washboard.
Play acoustic. Yeah.
Can you play the washboard?
Yeah, sure.
You look better on the jug.
I'll play buckets.
Yeah.
Sticks.
You play the buckets. Maybe we'll get Daniela on the washboard.
Yeah. No, the jug.
What is a washboard again?
It's that thing that goes...
Oh, from the Wild West.
Yes, from the Wild West.
it's from a Zydeco.
Yeah, I'll play that.
Yeah. Okay, first email today comes in, and it starts, I believe the appropriate comment is, the show is fucking awesome. And that goes for all y'all's shows, which I appreciate, by the way, because there isn't just a Sunday show, and thanks for calling out a bunch of them. And he goes on to say a few things about the Lunch Meat Show, and basically a lot of good things about us making him laugh. Really likes that, that kind of stuff. Like to hear it. I just don't know if we should always read that.
Laughter is important.
Well, if you had
it's
your
very
way,
important to life.
What's that?
Laughter.
Laughter, absolutely.
I'm glad we provide that.
And I'm happy we do it, too. Always happy to hear when people write in and they say that they're in some random place and they bust out laughing with their iPods on. And because of us, that's always it's one of the best compliments you can
get.
Yeah,
I like that.
I had an English guy come into the shop the other day. Mm-hmm. Early 70s, his father just passed away.
Okay.
And his father tells him the most important thing is laughter. Straight from England, he was talking about his best bidders, how you can't find them in the States, but the guy summed up his whole life to laughter.
Wow.
Right there in the beer shop is awesome.
Yeah, it's good, good philosophy. He goes on and says, anyway, I've been thinking about the homebrewer's code. Can't find anything on the web. I think we need to codify this. Now, I'm going to tell you why you can't find anything on the web, because we coined the homebrewer's code right here on the Brewing Network. I think that the code, an unspoken code in some, like unformulated form. I think that the homebrewer's code existed. We didn't exactly invent that, but we certainly coined the homebrewer's code right here on the Brewing Network and have been trying to formulate something that everyone can hold on to, and it's sort of in development. They didn't write the Constitution in 2 days either. No. And I think the homebrewer's code is in development. And he says, I think we need to codify this. I've given it some thought and come up with a draft to start from. And he attached a draft for me. I suggest opening it up to the forum to generate an international homebrewer's code within some guidelines. And he goes on to say maybe not more than 10 rules, and each rule can't be more than one page long, and a few things like that. Here's what I think. For one, the homebrewer's code already was opened up to the forum.
Mm-hmm.
You guys started posting a few things in there. And I've been thinking about this for a few weeks now, sent to Doc an email about it to have it on the back of his brain, too. I do want to formulate a basis for the homebrewer's code, and we'll just call it the brewer's code. That's what we always have. And I would like you guys to really contribute to what you think this thing is. And how I envision the homebrewer's code is to embrace the two things that are good about homebrew. And one is that it's relaxed, and it's laid back, and it's have a good time. So half of them should be funny. And the other part is that it's about being a good person, and it's about sharing, and it's about doing good things by your neighbor and your fellow brewer. And I think that's what the other half of the code should be about. I think the code should really be a mix of these two things, having a good time and throwing out a rule that makes you have a laugh, and maybe follow that right up with a rule that means something to us as homebrewers. So I want you guys to really start thinking about this. I'm going to make merch available with it. I'd love to be wearing a Homebrewers Code shirt from the Brewing Network so that people can kind of know what you stand for right off the bat, especially with the funny stuff. It's always good to read somebody's funny shirts, you know?
Yeah.
Perfect thing to wear at festivals and whatnot because everybody can relate to it. And that's the key. You guys got to come up with stuff that everybody can really relate to. Not just Brewing Network inside jokes, although maybe some of those will fit. But in general, it should be stuff everyone can relate
to. Global code.
Yeah, and get a laugh out of. So focus on that. There's already a thread in the forum. Maybe I'll move that thread up to the top. I think it's under general beer-related or maybe off-topic stuff. And let's get this code going. We'll come up with as few as we can, but to really get the point across and solidify it so that everybody knows what the code is. All right, so that was from John. It says, keep on keeping on from John. And good suggestion, my friend. Well, let's get to work on that. Everybody go and do your best with the code. All right, I didn't get an anonymous Jameel this week, but I did get a note from the Vinnie Puppet.
But I miss anonymous Jameel. Yeah.
It's hard. Okay.
Yeah, I don't know what happened to
him. I really miss those emails. They were like the funniest.
Well, the Vinnie Puppet brought it pretty strong, so let me read what the Vinnie Puppet had to say this week.
All right.
He starts, what the fuck is up with you guys? You suck so much you could suck start a 747 jet.
That's sucking, baby.
Yeah,
that's a lot.
I've been locked in a box for a year and find out that you fur jerkers have been ripping on me. That asshole Vinny caught me spying on him using a Randall to try and make his Pliny as good as the Dogfish IPA.
Ooh.
Next thing I know, I'm locked in a box at a railway locker room. By the time I get out, I find out that he has replaced me with a fucked up high-pitched piece of shit felt guy. Well, that's not so bad, but then I find that you guys are ripping on me. The Pope had it right. You're a no-talent ass clown. I don't have a high-pitched, scrawny voice. I have a deep-pitched, strong puppet voice. A deep, manly voice. I'm all puppet, bitch. Rip on me again, and I'll show up in the studio with a pack of wild dingoes. Which is the surest way to get me scared, by the way.
Yeah.
Here are some facts about puppets. 1. Puppets have feelings. 2. Puppets are real. 3. Felt is for pussies. 4. It's not Pinocchio's nose that grows when he lies. Why do you think he's so popular with the ladies? 5. Big Bird is gay. And 6. Bird and Ernie are not. And what's this about letting the Dan Puppet in the studio, dude? The last time I saw the Dan Puppet, he was hiding in the trees at middle school with a bag of candy and a white wine spritzer.
Holy shit.
That puppet needs some help. In conclusion, Justin sucks, John sucks, Scott sucks, JP is too poor to sucks, Daniela is the best and needs to run away to a desert puppet island with me. And Jameel is okay. Touch this, the V puppet.
Touch this. That's awesome.
So the Vinnie Puppet strikes.
Yeah, strikes big.
I didn't know that we had an impersonator of the Vinnie
Neither
Puppet.
Neither did I. But he used the word ass clown, which really only some people do.
Mm-hmm. That's true. Mm. That's very true. I like that it's like, you remember the Knight Rider when there was good Kit and evil Kit?
Yeah. Of course I do.
Well, now there's like good Vinnie and evil Vinnie. There's the evil Vinnie Puppet and the good. That's the evil Vinnie Puppet because the felt Vinnie Puppet, and maybe he is just a sissy. He was real nice to everybody.
It could be all just a ploy.
Yeah, that's true. It could be his alter ego. Okay. What else do I got here? I really am. Hey, Justin, I really am enjoying my show. Working the way through the archives is great. A point of pronunciation from a resident of Northeast Pennsylvania. Youngling is not pronounced youngling. It's pronounced yingling. Thanks, Don. Now, I appreciate the correction. He's from Pennsylvania. It's spelt youngling, but I guess you're supposed to say yingling, which sounds much more Asian to me. But
yingling.
What are you going to do? Maybe he's right.
Sounds like a panda.
I don't know. I need some more consensus. Let me know if it's yingling or youngling, and I'll switch it. I don't care. I just read the words, right? What do I know? Here's a good one for you guys, Doc. Actually, we...
You guys, Doc.
You guys, Doc. No, it's for all of us. I thought it was
Doc,
for you, but
plural.
It is for all of us. It says, guys and Daniela, how about a discussion on how to build a stir plate? I've read some stuff online, but when people start talking about potentiometers, transmitters, and ohms, my brain starts hemorrhaging. It's not that I can't put one together. It's that nobody ever seems to agree on what parts are necessary. A specific parts list would be great. Please guide us in your infinite brewing knowledge. Thanks, Captain Kangaroo.
There is a website available. If you go to onebeer.net and email Eric at onebeer.net, he will help you build one.
Correct. And if you also carefully look through our archives and go back to the Gadget Show, we did discuss, we had Eric Beer from onebeer.net in the studio talking to us about his stir plate. Unless we didn't have time to get to it that day.
No, we did.
We did get to it, right?
Did we get the stir plate? Yeah, no. I think we did, but he's built several of them, and... He's not an electrical engineer either, but he'd figure out a way to do it on the cheap and pretty simply, and what works out, and it works great.
Basically ends up with some spare computer parts in it and a cigar box. So
like $10, too.
Go to onebeer.net and...
Some duct tape and some chewing gum.
and a nice box.
That's right.
Yeah.
It really is a pretty simple process, and he goes through the whole thing right there. So if you want to learn how to do that, there you go. I think we'll get Eric back in here in the future, too.
Good guy.
Real good guy. Last name is Beer. Well, you can't go wrong with that.
Right.
And he does do some cool gadget things. He also was telling me he makes his own stir stick.
Mash
paddles.
Mash paddle?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He mash paddles. He, like, actually will go and get a nice piece of wood, and we'll sand it all down and makes a real nice mash paddle.
Well, he justifies it. He has all these tools, and if he doesn't use them, he feels guilty.
Yeah, he's got, like, a wood shop
yeah,
in his garage.
Yeah.
Hey, that's a good...
Why not?
Maybe you could have him make a paddle of your own.
I had a last bit of news, or feedback, rather. I'll just go through this one real quick. It's kind of long. But it was about... We talked about the... Chuck E. Cheese in Tennessee, possibly not serving beer. Well, he's from there, and he just wanted to say...
From Chuck E. Cheese or just... From?
He's from Chuck E. Cheese. He's from the Tennessee area that we did the news story was from. He says he's from San Diego by birth, but moved there 12 years ago. And he wants to say, you know, one thing that we didn't consider is that that's the Bible Belt. It's actually not just the Bible Belt, but the buckle of the Bible Belt there in Tennessee. And he has to say, the Bible-thumping minority makes so many decisions for the rest of us based on their beliefs. I can't tell you how many stupid choices these people make for everyone else based on their own fears and faults. Just because you might have a problem with moderation doesn't mean that everyone else does, too. Let's see, he wholeheartedly agrees with the comment that was that to criminalize it only leads to bigger problems, which is definitely a stance that we took during that discussion. He says, think about all the things that we did as kids just because we weren't supposed to. I appreciate what you all are doing. Good work. Rob DeBear in Memphis, Tennessee. P.S. Daniela, you look very nice in the forum, and congrats to you on your second batch. Good luck.
Oh, thank you. My second batch is ready, by the way.
Yeah, we'll be kegging it.
Yeah, you got to show me how to keg this thing.
If the show stops early enough tonight, we'll keg it tonight.
Is that it right there?
Yeah.
No, that one's mine. Okay. We've got 20 gallons of beer fermenting around
here.
Right
on, man.
Yeah, we went on a little roll for 2 weeks there. We were brewing quite a bit. And I wanted to brew again on Friday, but I just didn't get the chance.
Time to clear out those carboys and get it rolling again.
It's exactly. And I you know what I like about the, like, this batch I have sitting here, these 10 gallons? I talked about it last week where I missed my gravity and all that.
A lot.
What I like about this, though, is that I just poured the beer right on top of the yeast bed from my previous batch. Mm-hmm. And what I like about it is not having to clean the carboy in between. Like, the carboy is such a pain to clean that it's great to just throw beer on top of it, not have to scrub the thing out. I mean, I know it's not the cleanest process and that I'm going to have to be careful, but the batch that came out of those wasn't contaminated, so I figured it's okay to throw a new batch in there, and we'll see how this one comes out. If it's not contaminated, I might throw another batch in there.
That'll keep you going round and round.
Well, if you're clean enough, I mean, there's enough yeast to suppress, I'm sure, enough wild contamination, so.
Yeah, yeah.
Don't worry about it.
Absolutely.
Mike McDowell does that.
Just throw right on top, man. Yeah. It works. It works. All right, went a little long in the intro, so I didn't even get to the news, and maybe we'll save it for the end of the show. We'll take a quick break and just do the news later if we get a chance.
Perfect.
What we need to do is get a couple players for Beer Jeopardy. I've got three good categories for Beer Jeopardy, plus a bonus round, and it's going to be a lot of fun. So I want someone to call in on Skype. We'll take a Skype contestant, and I want someone to call in on 888-401-BEER. So we get two listeners to compete against John and Doc. And we'll have ourselves a good game of Beer Jeopardy.
Yeah, you better look out.
Is there any prize?
I don't know. We can probably figure something out.
I got some hops from Gary Foster that he would like to donate.
Oh, yeah?
So If we want some hops, some whole hops, we'll donate.
Okay. We can give some hops away.
Hard to get Amarillo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, let's do that. We'll give away some hops, and maybe we can drum up something else, too. So go ahead and call us up, 888-401-BEER, and then the other one is you can Skype us at the Brewing Network. All right? We'll be back in just about 3 minutes.
And now back to the Brewcasters.
The Brewcasters.
On the Brewing Network.
All right, you're back with the Brewcasters. Hang on just a sec. I got a couple of callers getting on here. Skype just went nuts at the break there. It's
Skype crazy?
Yeah, well, I just wasn't prepared for what would happen with all those callers.
Skype went crazy. You bleeding?
David, are you there?
Yeah, I'm there. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I got you. All right, hang on a second. All right, buddy?
Oh.
Nice.
Call, are you there?
Yeah.
All right, there we go. We got a caller and we got a Skyper. All right.
Technology is great.
That is cool. All right. So here's the deal. For all of those that called in, I did answer a couple calls, and I can't talk when I'm on the break there. They got the board doing other things, so I put you on hold, and if you hung up, the next caller got answered, and David was the guy who hung in there. So we got David on the line. You're going to play with us. How are you feeling today, Dave?
Feeling good.
Where are you calling from?
Milwaukee.
Milwaukee, Wisconsin, huh?
Yep.
Cheese capital of the world or something?
Something like that.
Yeah, cheese, beer, all that cheese, stuff. Beer. It's bad for you.
You a Brewers fan?
Yeah, a little bit.
A little bit, huh?
More hockey than I am baseball.
Okay. I'm going to have to tell you this. Whatever your computer is doing other than Skype, I'd like to ask you to shut it down.
Okay.
Yeah, because it just gets, it'll compress the file, and it ends up sounding real weird. But as long as your computer's dedicated to Skype, it'll be clear as a bell. So you mind doing that for me?
Sure, no problem.
Okay. And caller, who's on the line?
This is Bill.
Bill, where are you calling from?
I'm from Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh. All right. Cool,
that's
man.
Awesome.
You guys getting snow up in those parts or what?
No, it was like 70 degrees today. It was nice.
Oh, it's great. We actually got snow here last night. Did you guys know that? Yeah. It snowed in Berkeley.
That sucks.
Yeah. California. First.
And it looked like it snowed here this morning, too.
Yeah.
Like
oh,
here in Concord.
It did. It snowed. The snow came down to 1,000 feet, I guess.
I hate it. That's why everybody's getting sick, too.
It's very strange.
Wow.
All right.
That sucks for you.
It does. Yeah. You guys.
70-degree weather.
I know. It's like the opposite. We're supposed to be making fun of you, dude.
Way to rub it in.
Yeah, exactly. I it's my only chance.
Yeah, go for it, man.
All right. Have you two on the line there played Beer Jeopardy before?
No.
I've never played before.
Okay. Have you heard us do it?
Yes.
I've heard it a couple times in the archives.
Okay, cool. All right, so here's the deal. I'm going to give you the categories. You guys are going to have to say your name to chime in when you know the answer. So just holler out your name, and we'll try to judge who did it first. And same with Doc and John, except John, I want you to cluck like a chicken whenever you have to chime in. Chicken Boy called in the Friday show and sounded just like
I've got some tracks of myself sampled, man.
Okay, so that's your buzzer for today. And then, of course, Doc, you know what your buzzer is.
What?
It's freaking out, man. It's always freaking out from here on out, dude. That's all you
freaking
get to do.
Freaking out.
There's your buzzer. And then you two just chime in with your names, all right?
All right.
Okay. What is that?
That's mine, Doc.
Okay.
Freaking out.
Here's what we're going to do. I've got three categories of Jeopardy for you guys.
Hang on. Who are John and Dr. Scott playing for?
Oh, yeah, you guys can't play for yourselves, can you?
Hey, I was going to say that. Damn it.
All right, first two people in the chat room to call out John or Dr. Scott, whichever one gets them first, that's who you guys are playing for. Just type in the word John or type in Doc.
Fast.
And then
type John correctly.
Yeah,
it's hard to do.
So here's the categories. If there is a potential for a tie, unless somebody walks away with it, I do have a bonus round, which consists of one question where you will wager your points for the win, all right? But if it's whoever wins, it's a blowout and it's not going to matter, we won't do the bonus round.
We'll just save it for next time.
Okay.
What if I kick Doc's ass?
In Beer Jeopardy?
Yeah.
I think Doc will be shamed.
Yes, I won't come back.
Yeah, he's going to have to take a few weeks off of recuperation.
Yes. Okay. I won't be doing the show tomorrow.
All right, callers who are on the air, are you guys ready to hear the categories?
I'm ready.
Sounds good to me.
Okay, you're probably going to want to write them down. Here we have the place where beers are made. It's your first category. The place where beers are made. The second category is Slogans Heroes. Second category there. And the third category is Loose Lips. Loose Lips.
Loose Lips.
Chicken Lips.
Chicken Lips. Changing to Chicken Lips. All right, so those are your three categories. Each one has four questions, ranging from 100 points to 400 points. All right. And let's see, just at random, because he's using the new technology, David, you get to control the board first. Please pick a category.
We'll do slogans for 100.
All right, slogans, heroes for 100. Everybody can chime in. What these are slogans for beer companies. I give you the slogan, you name the beer. You never forget your first girl.
Freaking Dave. Out.
No, I'm going to give it to Dave, because there was no Dave, go ahead.
St. Pauli's girl.
That's right, St. Pauli girl for 100 points, and you have control of the board.
We'll do slogans, heroes for 200.
Okay, for 200 points. Again, the slogan, you guys name the beer. Do you love beer? It's the slogan. Do you love beer?
What the heck? Of course I do. Do you love beer? This is when I wish I had cable.
Right, I will not dock points if anyone wants to take a stab at it.
No,
nothing. Okay. Sam Adams, boys. Sam Adams. You love beer. Dave, you still have control of the board.
Slogans, heroes for three.
All right. For 300, the light beer for a heavy world.
Wow.
The light beer for a heavy world.
You can also...
Go ahead.
I'm going to guess Amstel Light.
You got it, sir. You got it. Amstel Light, that's right. And 300 points.
Wow.
You now have control of the board.
That was a completely random guess.
But a good one. I was worried that people were going to random guess like Bud Light or something and insult my intelligence.
No. I was going to say that, too.
All right, Bill, you have control of the board.
Let's go Place Where Beer Is Made. Let's go 100.
Okay. The Place Where Beer Is Made for 100 points. What was the first U.S. brewer to sell a million barrels a year? In a year, sorry. A million barrels in a year.
Dave.
Go ahead, Dave.
Pabst?
That's correct. Pabst for 100 points. The first brewer to sell a million barrels. Go ahead. You have control of the board, Dave.
Where beers were made for 200.
Okay. You, my friend, have got the Daily Doppelbock.
The Daily Doppelbock.
Ding, ding, ding. Which you get to answer by yourself unless you don't have an answer. And it will be for 400 points instead of 200.
All right.
If it's not answered, I will open it up to the rest of the contestants. In what decade, and this is multiple choice, in what decade did Chimay become the first Trappist monastery to release its beer for public sale? Was it A, the 1660s, B, the 1760s, C, the 1860s, or D, the 1960s?
Chimay Public Sales. I'm going to say C, 1860s.
You are correct, sir, and that's 400 points for you.
For whom?
For Dave.
Wow.
400 for Dave.
Yeah, all right.
Who answered the last question correctly?
Bill.
With how many points?
300.
Wow. Oh, yeah, I got that.
Okay. All right. Dave, you have control of the board.
We'll do Where Beers Are Made for 300.
All right. John, you're going to have to chime in here.
I'm on my... Thanks.
Another multiple choice question. Molson Brewery, Molson, was founded in what year? A, 1686. B, 1786. C, 1886. Or D, 1986.
Chicken Boy.
Go ahead, Chicken Boy. Go ahead, sir.
1766?
Pick a letter. How about that?
B.
Yes, sir. 1786.
Oh, sorry.
That's correct. B, 1786.
How many points for Chicken Boy?
300 points for Chicken Boy.
I'm going to draw a chicken there.
I like how he picked the year that wasn't even on the board. But the letter was right, my friend, and you have control of the board.
Let's do Loose Lips for 100.
Loose Lips?
Loose Lips.
For 100. These are going to be quotations. You will name the person. Multiple choice. The problem with the world is that everyone is a few drinks behind. That was A, Homer Simpson. B, Humphrey Bogart. C, Julius Caesar. Or D, Barbara Streisand.
Bill.
Go ahead, Bill.
That's Humphrey Bogart.
Yes, sir. That's Humphrey Bogart.
Nice.
100 points for Bill. You have control of the board, my friend.
Let's continue that. 200.
200 for Loose Lips. The slogan is, everybody has to believe in something. I believe I'll have another drink. That was A, Jack Handy. B, W.C. Fields. C, Ben Franklin. Or D, Ernest Hemingway.
Freaking Chicken Boy.
Dave.
Ooh.
Chicken Boy, I think.
It was definitely between Freaking Out and Chicken Boy. Let's give it to Chicken Boy.
B?
That's correct. W.C. Fields.
That's more than you have ever done before in Jeopardy. Yeah.
200 points for Chicken
Wow.
Boy.
A
couple pints of beer.
You guys want to know who has the lead currently?
I got robbed.
Dave.
Let's get the scores.
I got robbed twice.
I got John with 500 here.
No
wow.
Way.
Yeah.
Okay.
I got Dave with 500 here.
Tie game.
And I got Bill with 400.
Woo, it's a close one. And Doc's not on the board yet.
You keep taking
Doctor's Scott is not on the board yet. But he's hung over tonight, so that's fine.
But I say the word, freaking out, and then you pick somebody else.
Well, I got to give Chicken Boy the handicap, so it's kind of like tie goes to the runner. You know what I'm saying?
Chicken Boy.
Chicken Boy, you have control of the board.
Let's do Loose Lips 300.
Okay. Another quotation. John may have found his category.
I like Loose Lips.
Quotation is, you're not drunk if you can lie on the floor without holding on. Go ahead, Dave.
Dean Martin.
That's correct. Dean Martin. Didn't even need the multiple choice.
Woo.
That's
I just can't lose the job, that's all.
Yeah. Competition.
How many points?
That's 300 points.
Gives him 800 points.
That's funny.
And you have control of the board, Dave.
We'll finish it off with 400.
Okay. Loose Lips is finished off with, work is the curse of the drinking class. That was A, Oscar Wilde. B, Winston Churchill. C, Sam Adams. Or D, Thomas
Chicken
Jefferson.
Boy.
Go ahead, Chicken Boy.
B.
That is not correct.
Ooh.
Freaking out.
Freaking out.
What was it? No, I didn't know which was A and which was B.
B, which is not there anymore, was Winston Churchill. A was Oscar Wilde.
Oscar Wilde.
You are correct.
Yeah. How many points for Dr. Scott?
400 points.
I'm on the board.
Put Doc on the board.
Right back.
The only two remaining questions are both for 400 points, either in Slogans Heroes or The Place Where Beers Are Made.
Let's go with Slogans Heroes.
Okay. The beer slogan is, it doesn't get any better than this.
Dave.
Go ahead, Dave.
Hams?
No, sir.
Chicken Boy.
Go ahead, Chicken Boy.
Coors Light?
No, sir.
Freaking out.
Go ahead, sir.
Schlitz?
No. Bill, you want to take a stab?
Oh, shit.
You're the last one.
It doesn't get any better than this?
Yeah.
I have no clue.
Okay.
Homebrew. I have no idea.
I want to give you points just for that answer, but I can't do it. It's Old Milwaukee.
Mm. Oh.
Tough one.
Well, that's a lie.
I was going to say,
I'm afraid to say they are liars.
They didn't say what this was.
They
did
from not. Milwaukee, that's embarrassing.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Well, Doc, the last question on the board is your choice, my friend. Please. It is from The Place Where Beers Are Made.
All right.
And I think I'm going to have... Yeah, okay. You're going to name the brewery that makes this. What European brewery produces Jahrhundert? Daniela, maybe you want to pronounce that.
Jahrhundert. Let me see. Jahrhundert. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
That
what
means
European
century.
European brewer produces Jahrhundert? It's
this
not
is
that
the background.
It's not the baby in the background, I'll tell you that.
Freaking out.
Go ahead, Doug.
Paulaner.
No, sir.
Chicken Boy.
Chicken Boy, go ahead.
Augustiner?
No, sir. Dave, Bill, you guys want to take a stab?
Dave.
Go ahead, Dave.
Wurstiner?
No, sir. Bill?
Jagland. Eyinger.
Eyinger is correct.
Oh, nice one.
Eyinger is
we
correct.
We whittled it down for him.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
That was 400 points for you, my
awesome,
friend.
Awesome, man.
All right.
Complete random guess again.
You're good with the random guesses. Daniela, please give us our scores.
I have 400 points on Dr. Scott's account.
Okay.
John has 500, which means you didn't lose tonight.
You know, I miss that AMD one, man.
Dave has 800 points, and so does Bill.
Wow.
Oh, okay.
Great. So the two listeners get to go on into the bonus round. All right, that's cool. Doc and John?
We're out.
Hey, John, nice work, man.
You know.
I'm flattered.
That was really good. All right, fellas, here's the deal. I have a bonus round question for you. It is one question. It is not multiple choice. You will need to wager as many points as you want to wager, you know, depending on whether or not you know how it works. It's just like Jeopardy.
It's Jeopardy.
Yeah, there you go. I will ask you guys to do this, and I'm going to keep a time limit on it unless you guys just want to go Brewer's Code. No searching for this one, all right, guys? You can't Google it. You can't do anything else. I want you to give yourselves an answer and a wager. You got me?
All right.
Random guess.
Brewer's Code?
Brewer's Code.
Okay, fair enough. Then I won't put a time limit on you necessarily, as long as it doesn't drag out too long. I'll let you think about it. Here you go. Many brewers of the... And don't call them out either. You just get your answer and then wait for me to find out if you're done. Many brewers of the 19th and 20th centuries incorporated a six-pointed star known as the Brewer's Star into their logos. What does it symbolize? What does the Brewer's Star symbolize? So go ahead and wager your points. Get yourselves an answer ready. I'll give you a little time to do it. Doc, do you know this one?
I didn't see
what you wrote down.
The name of it.
Oh, the name of it. Okay.
Actually, I just read it today.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, I'd seen it before, and I was actually reading it today.
John, do you know the answer to this? What does it symbolize?
Not a clue.
No? Okay. How you guys doing over there?
I'm all set.
You're all set? Who's that, Bill?
This is Bill, yeah.
And Dave, how you doing?
I'm ready.
You guys are all ready?
Yep.
All right, we'll go with Bill first. Danielle, are you ready for this? How many points did you wager, Bill?
I'm wagering all of them.
All 800 points.
All 800.
All right, Captain Lucky Guess, what is the answer?
So the Brewer's Star represents purity. There's 6 points. They represent the purity of brewer, yeast, hops, grain, malt, and water.
Okay. Dave, what did you wager, and what is your answer?
200, and I was going to say it, the same thing, the purity law.
Okay, you're both correct. Purity is correct. That's what it stands for. However, Bill wagered all 800 points on it.
All right.
Which makes him the winner with 1,600 points.
And Dave is really fair.
And Dave was really quite fair because he could have said, oh, yeah, I did 800 points too.
Yeah.
Hey, way to go on the Brewer's Code. And
nice job.
And Bill's our winner. If I can come up with another prize, I'll give you both something just for sticking to the code and playing a good game. But if I can only come up with one, I'm going to have to give it to Bill.
No problem. If you come up with another, when Dan Gordon comes in, I broke one of his glasses. If I can get another one, I'll pay for shipping you.
Okay. I'll tell you what. I'll send you a Gordon Biersch glass. You got it.
Great.
Yeah, just for being cool and for playing along, I'll send you a Gordon Biersch glass. I got one for you.
And guys, if you could send your address information to johnp@thebrewingnetwork.com and daniela@thebrewingnetwork.com.
Yeah, it'll do it.
Will do.
All right. Thank you both very much.
Thanks. All right. Sounds good. Thank you, guys.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Bye.
Good game. I like it when both the listeners get to compete
like
at the end there. That was very cool.
I hesitate because I got to think to say freaking out.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
I'm giving you a handicap with
that? Yeah, you are.
You got to think, Doc.
Well, I got to think. I want to say Doc. And
yeah.
Right.
And that's when I go, freaking out. Then you give it to Chicken Boy.
I'll think about letting you off the hook next time with having to say freaking out. But it's just so much more fun when you have to say freaking out. You know what I'm saying? All right. Hey, our tasting for today, guys. We're still going to do the Pilsner Urquell. Did we get that, John?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay. So we're still going to do the Pilsner Urquell. We're going to do that at 6. And I also want you all to get ready with any questions that you guys have. Danielle has already given me a couple of them, and we're going to do those. And anything else you want. It can be anything about the brew process that you want to ask. And I guess you can ask other questions, too. We'll answer as best we can. Like
any questions.
Any questions you want, Daniela?
Yeah,
the atomic
any
weight
questions.
Of cobalt.
Okay. It's the Ask Us Whatever Question show.
That's the first.
You don't do that.
I just did.
But you don't.
Got a lot of good beer in here. I'm like three-fist in it. I got Doc's Kolsch.
And you're standing up, too.
I had John's Doppelbach, right?
No.
Is that what I was drinking?
No.
What was that one?
No, the double. First
Belgian
double.
Oh, the Belgian double. Sorry. Yeah. His Belgian double, which is real nice also. I had my ESB. I had John's ESB.
My wit.
Oh, I haven't had your wit yet, though.
That
is that this one here?
Then you had my Hellas, too, earlier.
Oh, that's right. And I had the Helleser. Lots of great homebrew going in the studio today. This is the one you're talking about tomorrow.
Yeah,
the wit,
one I'll be
right?
talking about tomorrow.
This is the best wit that I've had from you, Doc.
Yeah. It's
really well balanced.
Yeah, that's real nice.
That's a lot of adjuncts in it. And
I got things to come through in this one that I hadn't been able to before.
And was that from crazy mash that you did, you think?
Yeah. It's a whole different way of brewing.
And this
thing.
Is it.
Yeah.
Wow. What do you think? How did it affect your beers before?
I was aiming like most people do. They're trying to shoot for a Hoegaarden almost, mm-hmm. and trying to get these flavors to come through. And I couldn't get it. It would be a nice beer,
mm-hmm.
but it wasn't what I was shooting for. And I just did a lot of research, and I really picked up some cool new brewing things. Made me understand more of the ingredients and how to work them.
Nice.
And to get what I wanted to out of it. And this one came through. I got the orange nose and the orange flavor to come through, a lot of the citrus.
Yeah, there is a lot of that.
Not just the coriander coming through. Mm-hmm. It's got basically orange flavor coming through that kind of citrus. But it's not overpowering. It's not an orange beer.
Yeah, it's really not.
And then it's got some cool sour bitterness from the unmalted wheat to come through.
It's not overly sour, though, at all.
No, it's got a tang to it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's
refreshing.
Yeah.
Well, if you want to know all about how to do that, tune in tomorrow at 10 for the Jameel Show, where Doc will be hosting and telling you about the whole process, the recipe, the whole bit.
Yeah, I have a bunch of questions now, so thanks for bringing it, Doc.
There's a lot of cool stuff.
Hey, Oz, you're on the air, buddy.
Cool.
Yeah, you were on the air. Oz, you there? No,
there you are.
Sorry, I muted you. Hey, buddy.
How you going?
Going all right. How's it doing?
Oh, good. I'm just doing the brew. Actually, I'm making a wit, Doc.
Oh, cool.
There you go.
Yeah.
I was wondering, can we ship things between us back and forth?
Well, I'm going to give it a go.
I was thinking the same thing.
Yeah, why not? Just call it aftershave or something like that. That won't look.
Nah.
Exactly. Nobody knows.
I just pack it real well so it doesn't leak.
What I was calling in for, there's been heaps of discussion on the decoction mashing.
Mm-hmm.
And, you check any forum and they'll go on about you don't need to do it. It's not necessary. You can put grains in. What I've noticed, though, is there's other things that happen when you do a decoction mash. The beer seems to come out a lot clearer. Fermentation starts quicker. The fermentation's a lot cleaner. The yeast cake down the bottom seems to be so clean when it's done. Is there something else happening as far as enzymes, or are we missing something here?
No, I think more when you're boiling it, you're actually, well, you are. You're helping breaking down. You break down more of the long chain carbohydrates by boiling it like that. And you're opening them up more. And then when you throw it back in the mash, you're giving the enzymes more to work with.
So it does
help that one.
The flavor profile. Sorry. The flavor profile, like they say, put a bit of melanoidin malt or something like that in there. But the difference between adding melanoidin malt and actually doing a decoction mash, I believe you can't get the same flavor profile.
No, you can't.
Adding the grain.
You can get close, and I think what a lot of people they get turned off because it's a lot of work to do a decoction mash. And you're going to usually burn some body parts at it, too.
The way I do it, I'll pull off, I've got a strainer, a big industrial type strainer, a cane shaped type one, and I'll pull some of the grain out. I've got a hard bottomed, solid bottom pressure cooker. Now I just take it in the kitchen, bring it up to the boil, add it back in, stir it in, and it's all done. Anyone that thinks that's hard to do, well, I don't know. I think it's pretty basic.
You're just doing a single decoction?
No, I'll do three. And I find that if I do a single or a double or a triple, a single one's going to give me a slight raise in efficiency, a double's going to give me a bit more, and a triple's going to give a hell of a lot more. So the more decoctions, the better. It seems to be a linear thing.
Yeah, it is. That's where you're by bringing it up. You're really breaking down the longer chain starches and making them available when you throw them back into the mash.
So the more work part is just having to do the extra water boiling and bringing it down?
Well, you pull it out of the main mash, you take it to a separate place, you bring it up to whatever the sacrification temperature you want. At that point, leave it there a little bit and then shoot it up to boiling, then throw it back in.
So, Oz, you're not using the mash that comes out and then heating that up and putting it back on top. You're using new water every time? Or no,
no, no, no, I'm no. not using any water at all, just boiling the grain.
Just the grain, okay.
You want the thick part.
So, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I just strain as much of the liquid out as I can.
Okay.
And within what, 5 or 10 minutes, before it actually comes to the boil, it actually thins right out.
Okay.
Yeah, and then they throw it back in, and that's...
Yeah.
And we'll be talking about that tomorrow a lot, because you kind of have to do that with this wit.
You have to do that.
For this method, I'll give you some other methods, too, that you can work around it. But especially when you're working with unmalted stuff,
yeah,
you really got to do something like that.
And was it Dan that's a big fan of the decoction, too?
Yeah.
I think he does do that. Yeah
Gordon Biersch, they do decoction.
Okay. All right.
I think anybody who wants to really try a good beer should try it out. And there's a really easy step-by-step guide on Graham Sanders' site. I can't remember the actual address of it, but if you do a Google for decoction demystified, it should come up.
Okay.
And it really is easy. It is so easy to do.
All right. And I think if you click on the link from our site, it takes you to Graham's page, too. So
yeah,
you might find it that way. There's a big red banner that says the Oz Craft Brew Program. So
yeah. That site's got a whole heap of good information on it. It basically comes off his forum. He's got a lot of people written articles, and that's one of them.
Nice. John?
Well, I'm doing an ad for it.
Well, I was going to say, doing step mashes really does affect the malt profile in your beer. It just brings out a huge character to it that you can't get just with a normal sack rest at like 150, 154.
Right.
Yeah, I know Oz is a big fan of the protein rest.
Definitely. Ever since Charlie Papazian mentioned it, I'll give it a go, and I'll never go back to doing anything but that. It's just the difference is phenomenal.
What's interesting about, I did my first protein rest by accident, actually, on my last Hellas, and it increased my efficiency by about 20%. Same grain bill, same amount of quantity, but it increased the amount of fermentable sugars I had. I thought it made a better beer, personally.
It helps with a lot of stuff. It helps with the lautering to keep it fluid coming in and doesn't gum up the mash. A lot of stuff, especially if you're using a lot of wheat.
Yeah. I'll breathing into your microphone there. Jesus, you sound like a stalker.
Yeah. I feel like he's...
I bet he's got one of those headphones.
First of all...
Like Britney Spears.
Pull your pants up when you're talking to us, for one.
Well, I'm in the brewery. I'm in my brewery.
So he's not supposed to have pants on.
A question that came through the chat was, do you boil the grains and the mash or just the wort?
No, you want to get the thick part. So you want to pull grains and the thick part of the mash out of there. You want to pick about a third of it and boil that. There's reasons for that. Mostly you want to kind of protect everything. You want to have it as concentrated as you can. It always comes up. If I put my mash or my decoction up to boiling, aren't I going to pull a lot of the tannins out and make this a tanniny, astringent beer? You will if you boil the thin part. But if you boil the thick part, it kind of protects it all.
Okay.
And it has to do with mash concentration of the solution in there. So when you bring it up, you don't actually leach the tannins out of the grain husks.
Okay.
But you got to pull the thick part out.
So how do you go about just pulling the thick part out?
Yeah.
Well, Oz said it. He uses a big strainer.
Okay.
Of course, he's pulls it out of his kitchen. Do you let your customers know what you're using that for?
Shit, no. Yeah. They will want the beer when it's done.
Not when he's doing his crack and not when he's doing his beer. He doesn't let them know either way.
Yeah, I'm using That's your it. Stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think, too, with the thickness of it as well, I read somewhere that there's a lot of the enzymes are actually in the liquid once you start to mash in and not so much in the grain. So boiling the liquid's going to kill off some of those enzymes.
Right. And then you don't really want to do that. But you're only pulling a third out of it. And it doesn't take that many enzymes to really work the mash. So
yeah.
It's pull the thick part, strain it out if you can. Don't try to stir it a lot so you don't burn it on the bottom of the pot.
Yeah.
Or use a double boiler if you have to.
I find once it's come to the boil, there's no sort of it's not as thick anymore, so there's less chance of scorching anyway.
It does; it liquefies it even more, and that's what actually pulls the polysaccharides out of there and the long chain starches.
Excellent.
Looses them all up, so then you throw it back in there and let the enzymes go to work.
All right, I got a ton of questions to get to here that are coming through. So if you want more on the decoction mash, tune in tomorrow because Doc's going to be describing his process with the wit on the Jamil Show at 10 a.m., so you get a little more out of it then, too.
I have tons of questions for Doc, too. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thanks, Oz.
No worries. Thank you.
Good luck with the brew.
Cheers, Oz.
Thanks, mate.
See you, buddy. All right, so I do have a ton of questions. I just want to take a real short break because we got to do our Urquell tasting. I had a question for you, though, Doc. Maybe we can do, because it's non-beer related, so we should do it now because then I got a bunch of beer stuff after that.
Okay.
Can you want to say something about the whiting process that you perform on teeth? How do you guys whiten teeth? Do you actually, chemical, or do you got to, grind?
No. It uses a peroxide base. Instead of a hydrogen peroxide, it's a carbamide peroxide. and it's bound up in a gel.
John's got white teeth.
Yeah, he does, yeah.
Doc did my front tooth.
I wouldn't waste your money on whitening toothpaste and the paint-on stuff. The Crest White strips work okay.
Uh-huh.
The real expensive Bright Smile, where you go in and you get blasted once.
Yeah.
That'll bring you up to a point, but research is it doesn't really last. And also the research is that they put the laser or the light on it, and that it doesn't matter.
Oh, okay.
That really, they still do it, but it really, really doesn't matter.
What about the ones you can buy where you put the gel in the little retainer type thing?
See, that's what I do mostly, and that's what I get the best result out of. Is
okay.
We make a custom tray for you, upper and lower.
Yeah.
Used to be you'd wear them all night, mm-hmm. but I would get a lot of complaints, a lot of sensitivity, your teeth just ache for the next couple of days. And what that happens to be is there's a glycerin base to it, and it actually dehydrates the teeth. It desiccates the teeth and makes them ache. So now they've got a better formula with that. It doesn't do that, and you only have to wear it about a half an hour at a point. So you can wear it half an hour in the morning, half an hour at night, about 2 weeks, and it really works well. It works mostly for age stains where, you picked up stains from dark beer, dark red wine, coffee, stuff like that. So the browns and the yellows will bleach up the best. But if you've got the blue and the gray teeth, mostly it's from tetracycline staining, stuff like that. It really doesn't work as well.
Okay.
You have to work harder at it, and it will bring you up some. But when you've got that, we pretty much have to cover it.
Oh, gotcha.
And then there's other things, too. If you've got hypocalcified spots, those white blotchy teeth.
Yeah,
we got to grind that stuff out. Although, what I found, if you bleach your teeth, the un-white spots, the parts that aren't white, they'll bleach up to where the white spots is, so it makes them less noticeable.
Okay.
So I usually suggest, non-invasive technique first, because people really can't get it across to me what they want. They just want to be better, their smile will be better, but they can't get it across. So I usually suggest something really less invasive. And if that's not enough, then we'll go from there. We'll move it up and be the
merchant. Get out the buffer.
Yeah, I'll buff it out, or we'll grind, or whatever we got to do, cover them, whatever we got to do. But a lot of times it's just all they got to do is bleach them up. And, hey, that's what I wanted. And they're happy, and I didn't trash teeth.
Right.
And things. But sometimes you got to be more aggressive with it to get them what they want.
Can you gurgle bleach? Like mouthwash?
It's not that kind of bleach. No, it's not. It's not hypochlorite.
You're talking death there.
Okay.
Quick follow up: how often should you visit your dental hygienist?
Well, if you got her home address,
that often.
Well, a lot. Depends. I would say the outside for most people is twice a year, every 6 months.
Okay. What if she's really hot?
Then be on a 3 month recall.
Like every other week.
Yeah.
I'm dirty.
The outside's twice a year, every 6 months. After that, a lot of people need more. Need every 3 months or every 4 months.
Okay. It's the Brewing Network. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Three Guys.
Excuse me. What about me?
Yeah. Sorry.
You're listening to Three Guys and One Girl. Use a radio show as an excuse to drink more beer. The Brewcasters on the Brewing Network.
Yeah, welcome back. It's the Sunday show, and we are the Brewcasters, answering random questions today and helping the world have brighter smiles. Isn't that right, Doc?
Oh, yeah. It's the all-information show.
That's right. I do have tons of questions about beer here, too, so if you don't want to hear the other stuff...
I got a lot in my brain. I can spill it out.
Yeah, we'll do whatever. All right. Right now, though, we do have to do our tasting. I'm not sure if you guys went out and got your Pilsner Urquell for the tasting. We might even do this again when we do rebook the Dan, because we wanted him to taste... with us and describe it with us, the original and most popular Pilsner ever. So we might do it again, but for us, we'll do it here too, because these guys, John and Doc, are both big on the Pilsners also.
I like yellow beer.
A good.
I like yellow
like,
beer.
You like yellow.
I'm going to turn you into poop.
One thing we should do if Dan Gordon's on is we should go buy warm Pilsner Kill, refrigerated Pilsner Kill, and then we'll go to a local brew pub and have it served off a draft, and I'll bottle it up.
Yeah, we can growler some.
Do a growler,
and do a different taste, and that's a great idea.
I was just thinking we could get a keg of it in here.
Things. We can do
we have a keg.
Too.
I got a keg.
Oh, you guys do that to us? There you go. We'll just bring the keg over. We'll return it a couple beers shy. Who's going to know the difference?
No one's going to know.
We'll just pump back in somebody else's beer.
I don't know what's wrong with Pilsner, but they always send us you know, that three-quarter keg. Yeah, they said something about the shipping thing.
Yeah. It's to do with the weight. I don't know. They have to break up a little short. That's something to do with converting the metric system over to the American.
They just don't know how to do it.
So, all right. So we've got our Pilsner Urquells here, and we've got it out of the green bottle, their most famous green bottle. And you all know we've discussed before some of the problems that happen with these beers.
Right.
So we'll try not to be too redundant, but we'll talk about it just the same. And so already you all know some of the problems that a green bottle is going to present, not
which
blocking out the light.
And this is the big bottle. It's a 21 ounce?
1.63 ounces.
No, 1.6
pints. 1 pint, 6.3 fluid ounces.
Okay, yeah, it's a big bottle.
Yeah.
This is not as skunky as a, you know, as a Heineken is.
Correct. But it is skunky.
It does have a skunky
there. Just a little bit.
Yeah. Because what's interesting is that you get that real nice noble hop flavor aroma coming out of it, too, that I think makes it a lot less skunky than a Heineken. Because a Heineken, you don't have that real nice noble hop aroma, too. You just got a little skunky.
Well, Heineken's you know, it's lighter in color, everything. This is...
It doesn't have the malt like this, either.
I mean, this is SRM around a 6-7 probably.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
And so it's not as light. It's got a lot of malt to back it up.
Mm-hmm.
I know the IBUs on this are about 45.
No.
Yeah, 40, 45. Really? Yeah, they're big.
Okay.
But it's so well balanced. It's got a lot. Just the malt comes through first, and then the hops just take it over. It's so well balanced.
Mm. Yeah, I don't have trouble believing that IBU, especially right off the first smell that I took of it, the aroma.
Well, it's a relatively sweet beer, so, I mean, it's
And they do a decoction, and they do a long boil, especially with a, you know, Pilsner like this. I think 90 minutes or 2 hour boil.
Mm. What's interesting is that skunkiness goes away as you just let it breathe a little bit.
Yeah.
It's just gone.
We'll get out of there.
It was pretty slight to begin with, but if you can find it, you know, on draft, it's nice. But try to go to a place that can move it kind of fast, you know, higher end bar. The low end bars that sell a lot of Bud and things like that, they got Pilsner Quell on tap, and you know what? It just doesn't move, and you can get an old keg. If you ever tasted an old keg, you know it.
Mm. Okay. Is there that corn flavor out of this beer?
The DMS?
Yeah.
You got to get some of that because of the Pilsner malt.
Okay.
It's probably in all lagers.
Okay.
That use Pilsner malt. There's some hint of it.
All right.
It's not a bad thing. It's a different thing than adding corn to it.
Mm-hmm.
It's a different kind of to it. But this is definitely a decoction mash. No, you can't do this exactly without that. You can get close, but you're not going to get the subtleties out of this one without that.
Yeah.
It's got a lot of malt backbone to this thing. It's pretty simple beer. A lot of Pilsner malt and a lot of boiling.
Maybe a hint of Munich?
I don't even think it's got that in there.
Really?
But I think the decoction does that to give you that. And if you're not going to do a decoction, throwing a little Munich in there would probably get you close.
It's like a little slight grainy edge to it.
Yeah. But it's got the malt to back up that many IBUs on it.
I think it really does.
The ABV is what, 5? It doesn't even say on the bottle. 5.5% is my guess.
Okay.
It's probably in that round.
Where on your palate are you tasting the beer most?
I think it's a really overall balanced beer.
Mm-hmm.
I'm getting more on the back of my tongue near the end.
Do you get like a crisp finish at all? Like a
very. It's sweet at front, and then it just kind of very crisp. Oh, it's easy drinking beer.
And the aftertaste, I think, slowly moves toward the side. It goes from that back where you're tasting it, and then as it waits around a while, it slowly moves out toward the sides of your tongue, the back of your palate there. Which is a whole different part of what you can taste and sense too.
And when you smell it, you can smell DMS in there. It's a kind of a sweet corn.
It's subtle, but it's there.
Yeah,
I like that sound with you near the glass. You should do all your shows from the bottom of a glass.
I smell the corn.
This is Doc from the bottom of a glass.
I smell the corn, Luke. I am your brewer.
Yeah.
Father. Father.
All right. Well, let's wrap it up because you know what? I'm getting through just a ton of questions, which is what we were hoping for.
Let's work them.
Okay. And we might have to kind of rapid fire these two. So let's try to keep the answers short and sweet, get to the point, and move on to a few of the other ones. How about that? I don't know what this one is getting at, but it just goes flaked barley, carafoam.
Carafoam
is German.
Carafoam or both?
Depends on the beer.
Okay. What do you use them for to start?
I use carafoam in like a light lager.
Okay.
I mean, I think you'll get the same head retention that you will with flaked barley.
They're all head retention things?
Yeah, but you'll get some type of, you'll get a malty creaminess from a flaked wheat or a flaked barley.
Okay.
Carapils is mostly head retention. That really nice, thick, creamy head.
It gives you a little body in there. And the carafoam, yeah. I've only seen it over the last 6 months or so.
Oh, okay.
I've tried it on a beer. And I usually try to add some carapils anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So Chris and John told me, hey, try the carafoam. It's new for us, and it's been out there a while, but
okay.
It's kind of a newer thing. Flaked barley, it's more of a raw kind of flavor. It'll give you a little bit more flavor rather than just and it does kind of boost the whole body of the beer, too.
Okay.
And then, like John said, it depends on the beer because you don't put flaked barley in just everything. You can almost put carapils or carafoam in almost anything.
Yeah, you wouldn't do it in like a Pilsner or Kilkenny or something. Yeah.
When you are sparging, at what gravity should you stop the sparge?
About 10-10, something like that. You see,
you leave behind some sugars, which you want.
Right. You gotta deal with how much water you're going to push through the mash. Another thing is as it thins out, the pH is going to go up. The mash keeps the buffers and everything in the mash is going to keep the pH down, which keeps the tannins out of your beer. And that's why we always say you need to acidify your sparge water.
Mm.
If you've got tap water that's 9, which a lot of them are, it's fine at first, but as it starts thinning out, it overtakes the mash and the pH goes up. So if you already acidify it down, 5.5, 5.6, it doesn't matter how thin you're going to go because the pH doesn't go up so much.
Mm-hmm.
But if you oversparge still. So about 10-10 is usually where people stop.
Ideally, don't you want your recipe and to know your brew system to the point where it'll actually run dry, but you'll reach your volume in your boil kettle.
Right, yeah. Cause
to avoid that problem?
Well, yeah, your efficiency, if you don't leave anything left in there and your mash water. So you can dial in your own system so you know how much mash water to punch through there. But usually, generally, it's about 2 Plato is what most people say.
Okay. This person says, my batch sparge this time only yielded 61% efficiency. Short of doing a fly sparge, how can I improve my batch sparge efficiency?
When you put it in there, do your normal rest for a while. Let it drain out. When you put it back in there, you got to let it sit for a while so it will actually dissolve a little more of the sugars. If you just fill it back up and drain it out real quick, you're going to leave too much in there because it doesn't have time to assimilate into the solution.
Is that when you're filling it back up with like 170 water?
Right, yeah. Because
just let it sit for a while.
A lot of people, they drain it out.
Yeah.
They fill it right back up, and they drain it right out again.
Yeah, I did that.
And you won't get the efficiency because it doesn't give it enough time to dissolve the sugars back into the thin part of the mash.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how you're rinsing the grains, but you need to give it enough time. Don't stir your mash because you've moved the
you want it to sit.
Yeah, you want it to be able to strain.
Right.
The mash bit actually just strains, too. Otherwise, you're going to get a really cloudy wort and a lot of things in the brew pot you don't want to have.
Okay. I want to use, basmati rice and see if the aromas make it into the beer.
Okay.
Why are you looking at me like that?
Because that's such an interesting thing. I was waiting for this question to be answered.
Okay. So I want to use the basmati rice and see if the aromas make it into the beer. Do I just cook the rice into a bloody mash and then add it to the mash tun?
Yes.
Or am I supposed to cook the rice with grain?
No, it doesn't matter. Well, I'll talk about it tomorrow.
Oh, okay.
Using unmalted things. But generally, just go ahead and cook the rice in general. You can do it in a rice cooker if you want, whatever. Be careful because, it comes out of there like hot magma.
Mm, okay.
And then put it into the mash. But you got to cook it just because all the starches need to be gelatinized and you need to boil it. So go ahead and cook it as normal. Mm-hmm. And then the starches are there. You don't need, as long as you put it back into the mash. And then all the enzymes in the mash will take over and use those starches that you freed up by boiling.
Mm-hmm.
And that makes it available to them. If you just put the thing, the rice back into the mash at 150, everything's all bound up.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not going to work.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Is it basmati rice necessary, or what kind of rice should you use?
I just ordered some red rice from India, Indian red rice. So I'm going to make a red pilsner.
Nice.
So I'll get back to you on that. That's my next beer coming up.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Look at Doc.
Where'd you order that from? Rice R
Us? No, it was...
Rice World?
No, it was IndiaHarvest.com.
Okay.
And
cool.
You can get all kinds of cool grains and things on there.
All right.
You can get anything on the internet.
Yeah, we're connected.
Yeah.
What is the best way to use fruit in beer? I want to make a raspberry wheat. Should I put it in secondary? Should I steam them first, chop them up? What should you do to add
the best way most people say is to freeze them. If you're going to use real ones you picked.
That way they're sterilized,
like
right?
It breaks down a lot of the pectins.
Mm-hmm.
And it keeps it works better that way.
Which prevents haze issues.
Yeah, it prevents the haze issue. Mm-hmm. Use some pectin enzyme too, which helps break that down. But by freezing them, it makes them all mushy, and it frees things up. And do it in the secondary.
Okay.
Well, you don't want the primary fermentation to vent off all the aromatics from the fruit.
Exactly. Right. It does that. It's bubbling off, and all that CO2 scrubs out. It'll maybe taste a little bit like raspberries,
mm-hmm.
but it won't smell like them anymore.
When Gino was in here from El Toro, was talking about the same thing. Just, you don't want that aroma to get out in the fermentation. So. Mm-hmm.
And the secondary is pretty quiet, so yeah. It's a good place to do it.
When he uses fruit extract, which is another way to do it, he'll just add it right to the keg. When he kegs his beer, he'll take like his regular pilsner, whatever it might be, and he'll add his fruit extract right when he kegs it and do it that way.
That's the safest way to do it, and Jamil says decide how much you need to put in. The way I do it is I take a 12-ounce beer,
mm-hmm.
and I measure how much I put in there.
Like a milliliter?
Yeah, I have a pipette,
right.
So I use that. So a tenth of a milliliter, whatever, I start with that until I get the taste I want. So I know how much is in that 12-ounce beer, and then I scale it up. And good rule of thumb, Jamil, is he says pull it back about 25%. It's a lot easier to add more than have to go ahead and blend once you added too much.
Hmm.
And that's the easiest way to actually get a real nice fruit beer. Another thing... that I got from Mike McDowell was when you add extract or add the fruit to it,
mm-hmm.
you want to have it just barely detectable. You mm-hmm. don't want to have a fruit nectar what tastes like beer.
Yeah.
You want to have something that, oh, wow.
A subtle hint of fruit.
A subtle hint of fruit, and especially if you're going to do contests, that's what you want.
Okay.
If you want to make it for a nice summertime drinking picnic thing and you got a lot of people that want to get their thirst quenched and don't like beer, go a little more heavy-handed on it.
Okay.
But it's easier to work it that way to get as much in there as you want. When you're using real fruit, mm-hmm. it gets a little dicey.
All right. And more of a simple question here, and this one I think is referring to boil overs. If you swirl your wort, is it as good as blowing on your wort?
And I you think blow your wort?
When it's about to boil over.
I have a big spoon, restaurant big stainless steel spoon. You want to break up the surface tension.
Yeah.
Okay.
And you can do it a lot of different ways. Some people throw in a few hop pellets, and that breaks the surface tension.
Hmm.
Spraying water on it does the same thing.
Right.
Turning your heat down.
Turning your heat down.
Except that's not immediate. You still got that little foam thing coming over it. If you want to keep it in the kettle, you got to do something.
Blow on it and turn it off.
A lot of guys in the brew club have electronic temperature the thermometers
mm-hmm.
with an alarm on it. So they put it in there, and when they set it at like 210. And when that goes off, then they start watching their pot.
Okay.
Smart.
And so it doesn't blow off. If you can get – one thing I've noticed, if you have a converted kettle that has a smaller opening on the top rather than a kettle that has straight sides,
yeah,
you're more likely to boil over.
Mm. Yeah, I almost get a boil over every time since I started with the converted keg.
Yeah,
because it does have the two sides.
You can try some foam control in it if you really have a big issue.
I've been okay.
Wheat beers have a tendency because they've got more proteins.
Okay,
they thicken up on the surface.
I like the spray bottle with some cold water in it. In fact, you can just kind of spray.
Some people throw in some ice cubes, but the spray bottle probably works the best.
Spray bottle's cool because you're not changing the temperature at all of the boil. So not that one ice cube is going to necessarily do it either.
Yeah.
You're just changing you're just hitting the bubbles. Yeah. The foam coming up.
It's quicker than blowing on too. So
Just throw in probably 5 or 6 hot pellets.
Yeah.
Don't throw in a handful because you will have a boil over.
Yeah, right.
Just throw in 5 or 6 and that'll break it up a little bit and it won't do it as much.
That's a good idea. Especially also because if you take a few deep breaths and blow on it, you're likely to pass out and fall right in. I get a little lightheaded when I have to do that.
Oh, and the biggest thing is just watch it because it never boils over when you're watching. As soon as you turn your back,
wait till that protein break. You'll know.
Once it starts to boil a little bit, then you're good to go.
Mm-hmm. This question is for me, and of course it has nothing to do with beer. Just want to know when I'm going to Connecticut.
Yeah, and it's a guy called Trans.
Very scary.
No, actually, he wants to know when we're going to the East Coast. I think he's from
Pennsylvania.
Pennsylvania.
I don't know.
Soon.
I think it's possible in April because my brother's wife is shooting out a little animal. So
a little animal.
Might have to go look at that thing.
Yeah.
And they go, oh, cute.
And then we're going to go on our East Coast trip.
Are you going to Florida? Or in June?
To the Nationals?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, we are.
Sorry.
I'm a little confused. No, we are. We're totally going to that, which is, I guess, it's also the East Coast, but it's hard for me to consider it the East Coast because it's like down in the tropics. You know, it's such a different East Coast than I'm used to having come from Connecticut. To me, East Coast is cold and green.
Right.
You know, and not whereas humid and hot. Not humid and blue water. You know, it's a totally different thing. But we're going to try to do both. We're going to go to Connecticut, I think, in April. And then, of course, we're going to do our best to go to Nationals.
Okay. Is PA so far away from Connecticut?
Nah. We're not driving there, if that's what you mean, but it's not really far away.
But Trans wants to see you.
Meet him in the middle.
Yeah, Trans can drive.
Meet him in the middle.
Can drive to Connecticut. That's fine by me. There's even an airport there. It's amazing.
No, so, I thought they closed that.
Yeah. What is the optimal temp for Y Yeast 1084, Johnny P?
1084.
I just thought I'd throw that. It came
I have no idea what 1084 is, so I have no answer for that question.
I'm going to direct you to yyeast.com.
No, what's 1084? I don't know which one that is.
Yeah.
I know most of the white
yeast. You can maybe clarify the question, and they might have an answer for what kind of yeast it is. And another one that we may not know here because we're not manufacturers of these things. What are the differences in manufacturing of carapils and crystal malt? And are the carapils, and as the carapils are added, maltodextrins, is it essential to mash it? And since carapils are adding maltodextrins, is it essential to do a mash with carapils?
Carapils? It does the same thing that a maltodextrin does.
There's maltodextrin powder and carapils do the same thing. Their body enhancers for the beer. It's really hard to dissolve maltodextrin. It takes a while. You might want to
boil that, right?
Yeah, you might. It's good for extract brewers
to add mouthfeel or
adds mouthfeel. You're probably better off having a separate pot with some hot water. Stir and stir and stir until it dissolves, and then add it into the boil kettle. Otherwise, it goes to the bottom, and you have some issues with it. Carapils, you're going to get more out of it if you mash it, but you're not going to get fermentables out of it.
If you're an extract brewer, can you steep it?
Yes, you can.
Okay.
You'll probably get a better job of getting things out of it by mashing it, but yeah, I've steeped it before and it works fine.
Okay.
But it's a body, mouthfeel
kind of. It's unfermentable, though.
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay.
We've got a caller here. Hey, Bub, you on the air?
Yo.
Hey, buddy, what's happening?
Hey, I was wondering, when I'm using, when I'm making cider, should I use a champagne yeast, or should I actually get a cider yeast for that?
That depends on how dry you want it, and I've found that champagne yeast will really dry everything out quite a bit, almost to the point where it just tastes too dry, you don't get what you want. If you want a little bit of sweetness in it, you can experiment with that. Or split the batch and do one with champagne yeast and one with a cider yeast and maybe blend. Most cider guys will blend.
Okay. little bowl.
Just to get where they want. What kind of, is it an apple cider?
Yes.
Yeah. There's a lot has to do with apple cider. It's the blend of the apples. Do you have access to that? To like orchards or guys that grow apples?
There's an orchard just down the road.
And if he can mix some apples, do some research on what apples he has. Some apples are more acidic, some are more sweet.
Some will make you go to hell.
And a lot of times they'll blend it for you when they mash it. when they squish it, they'll do that for you. But
we're going to hell.
Yes, you are.
Jay, that was awesome.
It's not my story. I'm just relating it to you guys in case you haven't heard.
I've heard.
But I think you'll find that champagne yeast will dry it out way too much.
So are you going to address all this on the cider show next week?
Is that the cider show?
We should have done the cider show for you guys this week when we had the cancellation exactly. And just threw together some cider info for you.
We're working on it, though.
Yes. Yeah. I got the personal number of the Two Rivers guy, so we're much more likely to get him in here now.
Voicemails don't work.
Two Rivers Cider. Yeah. Boob, by the way, is working on a thing in the forum. I'm not going to talk too much about it, Boob, because I want to have you finish it up first before we go ahead and do a big plug for
it. Right, yeah. Code's going to work on that so it looks a little nicer. And, sweet. It'll be a little bit better in the background. But
it's a secret Santa for homebrewers, basically, and we're not waiting for Christmas for it either. And Boob and a few of the guys in our forum there have been chiming in back and forth on it. And you're basically going to put in your names like a secret Santa. Everybody draws a name. And
oh, yeah.
You send people homebrew out of it. I think it's just an awesome idea that you guys have put together. And Boob's working on the website for us, I guess, along with Code, too. And when you guys get that nailed down, we'll do a big plug for it and make sure we get everybody involved. I'm interested in it.
I'm in.
So... cool.
Yeah, I thought it'd be a great idea. You know, it's one of the, you know, it is kind of a network in more than one way, you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
Not only is it a radio-esque network, we can actually network with each other and
which is a cool thing.
Great point. Yeah.
You guys have just been real cool about that, especially now that I can at least watch it happen with Skype. It's a little more visible. Once everybody got in Skype, I can see you guys all chiming in there and, hey, I was Skyping this person and talking to that person. And it really is a network. It's very cool, as well as the forum, of course.
Yeah, so. And the naked webcams are really nice, too.
those are always fun. You can't go wrong with a little naked webcam.
Damn it.
All right, Boob, thanks a lot. Just keep me up to date, and we'll do a plug.
All right, no problem. Thanks.
See you, buddy.
Now, you can go way wrong with a naked webcam.
Yeah, I guess you can. It does get ugly.
It's wireless, too.
What specialty grain can I use to increase the mouthfeel of my beer?
Carapils. Or carapoam, too.
Yeah, okay. We'll talk about that.
Yeah, about 10% can work wonders.
Okay.
You got to up or down how are you using it.
Okay.
It doesn't give any fermentables, but it does thicken up the mouthfeel.
Maybe even a little flaked oats, small percentage, 5% maybe.
Okay. It depends on the beer.
Mm-hmm. All right. Does yeast choice make much difference in the head retention in general?
No, I think you're
fermentation does.
Yeah, but I think you're going to get most of that from the grain bill.
Okay.
Yeah. If you want a little more head retention, what I've always used is a little bit of wheat malt.
Okay.
Just maybe even 3%, 4%, 5%.
Okay.
Because you don't want the wheat to come through in a lot of beers, but if you want to have more head retention, the wheat really can pull it through. And it's a pretty mild flavor, so it doesn't overpower anything at 2 or 3 or 4%.
Yeah, it's more mouthfeel and actual flavor than it is
okay.
What you see with the whitehead, you know.
But were you saying, can you kill your head retention in the fermentation?
Well, I think that some yeast ferment more sugars than others, so I think you might have more alcohol present, which might kill head retention.
Of course, okay.
So, yeah,
that'll do it, or if it takes out too many of the long-chain dextrins to help exactly. Do that.
All right. I like this question. I'm skipping ahead to this one.
Because he likes that one.
Yeah. I read that you can use Beano to make a low-carb beer.
Yes, yep. You can.
Oh, you guys both know about
yeah.
That?
Oh, yeah.
That's no myth, huh?
No.
What's the deal with that?
It's an amylase.
Pretty much zeroed out, right?
Not necessarily, but it breaks down. It's another enzyme, and it helps break down some of the longer chain guys so the yeast can eat them.
So would you do just like a regular recipe, but then add some Beano to it to reduce the carbs? Is that
right? Right. You want to put it in the primer. You don't want to boil it because it kills the enzymes.
Oh, okay.
So grind them up. What's about 5 tablets and 5 gallons, something like that.
Okay.
And it'll get your gravity down farther. You need to overcompensate for the mouth feel that you're going to lose.
Right.
So put some carapils in there.
Okay.
And boost that part up because it won't mess with that.
What about the flavor?
Yeah, very dry.
It dries things out quite a bit.
But that's just, okay, so that's just by fermenting out to a lower gravity. But does it actually add any, like, of its own flavors?
No.
No? Nothing?
No. It's basically an enzyme.
Okay.
And it helps break things down, which is what the mashing and the malting all does.
Probably good for barley wines or Doppelbocks or high-gravity Belgians.
Hmm.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, I need a little Beano yesterday, boys.
To clean your system out? Or?
No, to...
slow you down a little bit?
A little gas. It was unbelievable.
Hey.
Like, I was out drinking strong beers with Sean, 21st. He gave me a couple of the goodies he brought back, and then plus his strong beers, and then porters and all kinds of stuff. And I don't know what it did to my inside, but I couldn't stand myself.
Whoa.
Like,
you offended yourself?
Yeah. It's funny because...
Danielle's face.
Check this out. I truly hope that some of you guys have been able to experience this sometime in your life, because this is cool. Daniela got out of bed earlier than me, like maybe a half an hour before or so, and I'm still laying in there, and I'm just
you're laying down
naughty.
You're laying down some grazing fire.
I am just dropping bombs. I can't help it. I'm half asleep, and I'm just dropping bombs. She walks back into the room half hour later, and it's a fairly large room, right? So I'm not talking about some confined area here. And it just, like, the smoke was in there. She could hardly make it through. She walks in, throws her shirt up over her nose, is like, oh, my God! Has to open the window and turn on the fan.
And smoke a cigarette.
And, boy, was I proud.
Yeah, I was, too.
I mean, I was like, this is awesome.
That is awesome. Look how happy she is.
I mean, she's right. I could hardly stand myself. Telling you, a little Beano would have done me well. Danielle, next time when I'm like that, you got to slip a little Beano into my breakfast or something.
I don't even know what Beano is.
It's these little tablets that stop you from having gas.
Mm, I had no idea. Yeah.
Hell, I didn't bother to tell you. I was having fun.
He likes it so much because he knows that he's not allowed to burp and to fart when I'm present.
Wait, whoa, whoa, that's torture. That's slavery right there.
It is.
He has to leave the room. That's how it is.
I like the smell of my own gas. I don't know about you.
No, everybody likes their own brand.
Exactly.
You know what? In general, yes. In this stuff, guys, no.
No.
I couldn't. I went outside for my own benefit and tried to, like, run upwind.
Oh,
kind of.
Wow.
Did.
A little tear come down from your eye.
This was not a happy...
It was like his own colon just died or something. I don't know what's going on in there. It ate itself. I don't know. Well, it's the worst thing I've ever smelled.
That's bad. Sorry, guys. The Beano thing got me on that topic. All right. What styles benefit from decoction mashing?
Most German styles. Pilsners.
Wits.
Anything with a lot of unmalted stuff in there, they will. Oktoberfests.
Lagers,
basically.
Yeah.
I don't think you're going to get a lot. Most of the ales come from, at least their basis is in England. In England, they've been using a single infusion mash forever.
Mm. Well, that's an interesting point that you're bringing up right now. I mean, lagers consume more sugar than ales.
Right.
So you think that maybe you compensate the actual dryness of a beer with a different mash temperature with, what point was here, but... I know that lagers consume the sugar raffinose, and they'll consume more, so there'll be a drier beer.
Right.
And I know that if you do a decoction mash, you'll get a maltier beer. But ales, on the other hand, tend to be a little bit more maltier, more mouthfeel than a lager strain, because they don't ferment out as much sugar. Mm-hmm. So, never mind.
I don't know.
Do you do a protein rest on a Weizen?
I do.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Why? What's a protein rest? Let's start with that.
Okay, protein rest is enzyme rest at 122 rather than your saccharification rests, which are in the 40s and 50s. You use a protein rest to use those enzymes to help break up the long chain proteins. It helps a lot with the lautering. If you have a wheat beer with 40, 50, 60% wheat, you're going to have a problem with not only that it doesn't have enough husks in there, it gets really gummy. If you let the temperature drop a little bit into the low 50s of your mash or lower than that, you're going to have issues with it not straining out in your your efficiency goes down, and you have little trouble with the runoff.
Okay.
So it actually helps get the gumminess out of there with a wheat beer.
Okay.
Because wheat has so much more protein than barley, and you need to compensate for that. And a protein rest works really well for that.
And what's the temperature of the protein?
122.
122.
Isn't there a range, though? 122 to...
Yeah, there's always a range.
Like 10, 15 degrees?
Yeah, it's about 10 degrees in there. But just shoot for 122.
Okay.
And
how long leave it there?
15 minutes, 20 minutes is fine. If you go 30 minutes, that's cool, too. I wouldn't do an hour out there. There's no point. So 15 minutes, 20 minutes, something like that, that'll work out real well.
Okay.
Cool. Caller, you're on the air.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going real well. Who are we talking to?
Lord Bia Berkeley.
What's up, Lord Bia?
Nice.
Hey.
Question for you guys. I'm part of starting a homebrew club at my university, and was wondering, we wanted to get like maybe one or two grains in bulk, but we didn't know if you guys had any suggestions on any wholesale bulk distributors. And I mean, wholesale, like as in homebrewers could get like one base malt for, you know, 6 months.
Hmm.
I don't know.
You want a pallet, huh?
Yeah, well, not a pallet, but...
Well, most big homebrew shops, Northern Brewer, B3, they'll sell you at sack prices, which are a lot less.
What's the cost of a sack, Doc?
A sack of hot nuts?
Well, I can tell you that.
Yeah, what is the cost? How much will you guys sell at most, John, at B3?
We discount. If you buy four sacks, we take it 10% off.
Okay.
So it's like 15, 20 bucks savings.
And how
about
much?
$25 a sack.
A sack, okay. Yeah.
How big is a sack?
50 pounds.
50 pounds.
50
pounds.
50 pounds of grain.
Yeah, so it depends on how much you're going to use. You can buy it in bulk. A lot of people buy it that way. They get a much better deal with it that way. You're going to need a grain mill.
Yeah.
To really get it cheap, you need to know a brewer, and like a small brew house. Like they can get it really cheap.
Yeah.
Go to your local brewery. You guys got a microbrew around there?
Yeah, but the guy close by likes to push his beer, which is understandable.
But if he knew that the homebrew scene really pushes his beer anyway, and if he alienates you guys,
he's a homo.
it's not helping him any. Because you're not going to go drink his beer. You can badmouth it to two of your friends who badmouth it to two more, and pretty soon, he's a dick. And
or you can badmouth it here and do it like 1,000 people at once.
At once, yeah. So it's go be friendly with him, and maybe he can help you out. Maybe talk about it like a sponsorship where, he'll give it to you at his price. That might be a way to do it.
Oh, that'd be cool.
Yeah, buddy up to him, and... You try to talk to them, and your guys are coming up, and you got some guys that maybe want to go into the professional side of it, and it's a non-profit thing, and maybe he can give it to you at his price.
Hey,
and
that's a great idea.
They can get it a lot cheaper.
Especially because you're a university, It's not like you're just some jerk down the road.
Yeah.
I think people tend to support students a little more because for some reason they think you guys have potential, but they then look at me.
I don't know what the hell they're thinking.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on there. Or call B3 and tell them how much you love the show and see if Johnny will cut you a deal.
Sure.
Oh, sweet. All right.
Sweet.
Who knows?
If you buy like a pallet of grain, it's like 15 bucks a bag.
Oh, that's pretty cheap.
It's pretty cheap.
And how many bags are on a pallet, though?
Like roughly
50?
30.
Oh, 30.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's pretty cheap.
Put those dues together, man.
Yeah, it's a lot of grain.
Cool. Thanks, Lord Bia.
Thanks.
See you, buddy.
Lord Berkeley.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm going to take a break here.
You've been standing up this whole show.
He said he wants to do that now because he feels more superior that way.
That's what Chris Graham said. I didn't say it. It's true, but I didn't say it.
That's ironic.
No,
you didn't deny it either.
I said more control of the board and everything.
Oh, I thought you just said you had more control.
I said more control. Well, I'll tell you, there's actual chairs that, what the problem is? I started working at that radio station out there, and I'm working in like $1 million studio. They got everything there is just awesome. It's great. And I love our studio. We got a nice studio here too.
Yeah.
But let's face it, we're not CBS. Okay.
No.
So.
No.
And anyway, theirs is built much the same way, at least in, I built the desk right in the sense that it's supposed to be high, and it gives you better control over it. But what they have is these real nice chairs that are up high also. So I went looking into that, because now I'm all spoiled over in that studio. I'm like, I want the nice high chair. And they're like $200, and like, guess what? I'm not going to spend $200 on a chair when I can just stand.
Yeah.
Just
hang out right there. Dad, we build you a platform for your chair.
Yeah, there we go. I did a little platform over here. So, anyway, yeah, that's the deal with me standing. Nobody else gets to see it. You guys just get to make fun of me. How about a quick question, and we'll take a break, because I need a refill, and I got a few more questions to get to. We'll take a pee, and we'll wrap it up and try to get out of here
perfect.
By 7:30 or so.
Pour.
Does the protein rest do the same as decoction?
No.
No. Totally different things, right?
Yeah.
Okay, there you go. Good enough.
No. Next.
I have a question. I have a question for Doc. Does decoction brewing start at the acid rest, like 95?
Yeah, you start low.
Okay.
Yeah, well, nobody does an acid rest anymore. You don't really
you don't
need to do that. But
yeah.
It starts at the protein rest. That's a okay. good place to start.
Okay.
Start at 122. Get one at one point and then pull it off. Take your decoction off. Pull that up to about 150, 155, 55. Mm-hmm. And leave it there for 15 minutes. Then boil it.
Okay.
Then stick it back in.
Okay.
And into the mash and go for that.
Then do your sack rest.
Yep.
It's the Brewing Network. We'll be right back.
And now back to three guys with absolutely nothing better to do. The Brewcasters on the Brewing Network.
It's a homebrew party on the Brewing Network, hanging out, talking beer.
Woohoo!
Every Sunday. It's good stuff. Gotta wrap things up, though. I got a few questions here from the chat, and then I think we're gonna try to get out of here, because, you know, we can.
Yeah, why not?
We got the Dan rescheduled, and you know, we've answered a bunch of questions, so we're gonna go, and I think probably keg Daniela's beer. Drink some beer. And then watch The Sopranos.
But not drink mine yet.
No, we're just going to kick it.
Can we play Stump Dog and John?
Yeah.
But we don't have anything to give away.
I will think of something.
All right, yeah, we'll play Stump. So go ahead. Do your Stump Dog and John. It's going to be a duo. You don't get to pick them.
I thought you said Stump Dog. And
we're on the same team.
I thought I was out of this one. Okay.
No, it's you and I, Doug.
Stump the dog. Okay, a few questions. Why is it not a good idea to clean, not sanitize, my fermenters with OxyClean? If I know OxyClean has bleach, right?
I just read that one, and there was an ingredient in it, and I don't really remember them saying that it was not a good idea.
Well, if there's bleach in it, it'll pot stainless, so.
But you can do limited chlorine on stainless all you want.
Oh, okay.
And I got a lot to talk about with that on the sanitation show,
which is next week,
about the bad effects of the chlorine on the stainless, and there's ways around it. Okay.
Is this a serious question, Daniela?
Which one?
Not a serious question.
Well, there's somebody who had a question about how to whirlpool.
Okay.
All right. That's fine. I just was making sure because I can answer it, which makes me think it's not a serious question.
Well, no, it's Big Chooch, and I think he just started brewing
okay,
as well.
Okay, cool.
So. No,
then that's fair enough. I just occasionally, when I can give the answer to the question, I think it's a false question.
Which pretty much is the case, yeah.
Yeah. So the question is, you know, what is a whirlpool, and how the hell do you get it to work for you? So whirlpool is what you do at the end of your boil, and you can do it. I just learned how to do it, actually, myself, because when you do a partial boil on your stove and you only have 3 gallons and you dump all of that concentrated wort into your fermenter, there's no need for you to do a whirlpool. You could technically whirlpool and then siphon off the wort, but you're going to leave so much of that good stuff behind that you really don't want to do it with a partial boil. But with a big boil.
Yeah, if you don't have a spigot or if you're going to dump it, there's no point.
There's no point.
If you've got a siphon or a valve,
right.
then it's cool.
It's using the laws of physics to your advantage to get a clean beer, and that's all it is. So you do basically what you want to do is when you have a spigot at the bottom of your kettle, like Doc is saying, is you want to leave behind as much of the trube and the cold the hot break. Well, you're getting cold break too.
Yeah,
if you're doing an immersion chiller,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
you're getting cold break in there too. And basically, you want to leave as much of the junk behind as you possibly can. And a whirlpool helps you to do that by making all of those particles settle in the middle of your kettle. So a couple of things I actually just learned. The big brewers, of course, they have a much bigger kettle. When they do their whirlpool, which is essentially just what it sounds like, you get that you get your wort in there. You take your spoon and you just really get it spinning while the wort's still hot, so that it's still going to sanitize and no big deal. And you give it as good of a whirlpool as you can get going, and then you leave it alone. And you just wait for it to stop and let all of those particles settle out in the middle of the kettle. Big brewers will actually do that for like 15 to 30 minutes. They'll let that, once they get the whirlpools, they'll actually get the whirlpool started for about 15 to 20 minutes just getting it started, and then let it sit for a half an hour after that to just really settle out of there. Of course, it depends on their kettle and who the brewer is, but because they're so big, they'll really let it settle out. And that's okay for you to do too. What you want is it to really settle out.
That's a good point though. You do want it to settle out.
That's
don't
the key.
Want to rush that.
That's exactly the key. The first time I did it, I rushed it, and it was completely a waste. What I did was put all those particles into solution.
Yeah.
Because if you don't wait for the whirlpool to finish, you're doing the opposite of what you're trying to do.
Now, if you've ever stirred your cup of tea that has tea leaves in it, you'll notice that they all go to the middle.
Right.
And that's the same principle.
It all goes to the middle, and then your spigot's clear.
Yeah, and it settles into a cone in the middle, and then you can take it off. If you're going to just dump the whole thing, there's no point.
Because you're dumping it all anyway.
Yeah.
But if you're going to take it out of the spigot, now, on mine, because it's a converted keg, it has that concave bottom. So it's pretty cool,
that's
because
great.
It'll all sit in the middle of that, and then my spigot's a good 2 inches above that even. Mm-hmm. So I do leave some wort behind, but I also leave behind all that junk. In John's case, he's got your regular flat-bottomed kettle, just like it's not a converted keg, it's a regular kettle. He's actually had mounted a diverter plate, which is about an inch or so away from the spigot.
Yeah, it takes up half the circumference, so.
Okay.
There's a welded steel frame in front of it. So.
Looks like a little fence.
Exactly. It's a little stainless steel fence, so that when he does his whirlpool and everything sits in the middle, he's not drawing from the whirlpool at all. He's drawing from behind that little fence.
Yeah. I still think you can do a whirlpool without that, too. Just take your stainless steel spoon or a spoon of some sort, whirlpool it for getting like a tornado.
Yeah.
Walk away for 30 minutes, 45 minutes, come back, and it'll all be a cone.
Right.
You know, you don't even need a diverter plate.
I have a pump, and that's what I use. I have a whirlpool built into the boil kettle.
Nice.
So it pulls it through the pump, pushes it back in, and spins it.
Okay. Okay. And then just for my process, if you happen to be using an immersion chiller, what I'll do is right when I turn off the boil, turn off the flame, I'm done with my boil, I'll get a real good... I've had my immersion chiller sitting in there for about 10 minutes already, for the 10 minutes at the end of the boil. 15 is fine, too, because what you want to do is sanitize that thing. Mm-hmm. It's going to be sitting in your wort as it cools down through that dangerous point. So I sit that thing in there for 10 or 15 minutes, and then right when I turn the flame out, I'll actually just lift it up out real quick so I can get a real good whirlpool going with my spoon, drop it right back in, and then leave it sit for, 30 minutes as my immersion chiller's doing its thing. It's cooling down and settling all at the same time. Got a real clear transfer last time I did that.
And as it's cooling, you're going to get the cold break coming down, and that'll settle in at the same time.
Yeah. The key here, like John said, is make sure you wait for it.
Wait.
Otherwise, you're defeating the purpose.
Go have a beer. Take a break.
Relax. Have a homebrew. Watch The Sopranos.
I just received an update on The Sopranos because it was aired on the East Coast already.
They didn't tell you what happened, did they?
No, but they told me that it was really lame for like 40 minutes and then something major. Oh. And we're talking here, major happens.
Wow.
So don't walk away.
Wow.
So I'm so excited.
I could see you watching it for 40 minutes, but this is lame. And you go outside and have a cigarette, and then the cool thing happens.
I would do that with anything, but not with The Sopranos.
Not The Sopranos.
I respect my religion.
Wow.
Okay.
She's a keeper there, Jay.
That's right. That's why she accepts it when I'm like mean and angry. She's like, oh, well, Tony's that way.
You're a soprano.
It's fine. All right, this question is, I've never dry hopped. I do not use a corny keg. What is the recommended way for me to dry hop in my carboys?
Throw them in.
Yeah, you can throw them in, or you can put them in a hop bag and kind of use something to poke them down into the neck of the bottle and get them down in there.
Mm-hmm.
You might want to... I would use pellets. You don't really need to wait in there. They will eventually sink in there, but do it in the secondary. Sanitize the bag first with some sanitizer. Mm-hmm. You don't need to sanitize the hops because by that point, there's not anything on hops that can really kind of grow in the secondary.
And you have alcohol already.
And you got the alcohol, the pH and things that are, it will kind of deal with anything that's on there.
Don't yeast in your secondary start fermenting the hops that you dry hop again. So you're going to have to let it settle out for another week or 2 weeks after that.
Yeah, I've seen that happen. So like, your fermentation is done, and then you've thrown in your hops.
It's like more food for them.
And it will start. Yeah, and I don't know what the deal is that's happening there. That Doc, are you listening to this? Because I'm not.
No, I'm reading that question you gave me.
We're talking about when you dry hop. Okay, I've had this happen. My fermentation's done in the primary.
Okay.
Okay. Whether I transfer to secondary or not, let's say I leave it in primary, okay, but I know my fermentation is done. And then I dry hop in there. Occasionally, it will appear that fermentation has started again by me putting those hops in there.
Yeah.
I mean, I've seen it happen. John's come over and...
There's a fine layer of green hops on top, yeah. And then you see little bubbles formed, and the yeast are eating at it. And
well, you think your fermentation is done, but it's not. Mm. That's why, just because it stops bubbling doesn't mean it's done.
No, I know that. I'm not saying, I'm aware of that.
There's no sugars in the hops that it's going
to
eat.
Yeah, that's what I thought. That's why I thought it might have something to do with we're actually feeding more oxygen to the yeast with the hops, because there is oxygen in the hops, in those hop pellets, just kind of crammed in there.
Not much, because they want to get that out of there, otherwise it'll oxidize the hops. Yeah, that's why they put it in the nitrogen flushed bags and everything else. So there's really not the oxygen. And whatever is in there, it'll scrub it out anyway.
Because it is a weird thing.
Something going on.
Yeah, it'll appear that it's fermenting.
Yeah, it does.
I'll show it to you sometime, Doc, and then we can talk about it.
Sure.
Because it is weird. It's, John's seen it, too.
I don't think it's abnormal.
I've had beer that was dry hopped with whole leaf hops, and then it almost has like a wet hop character to it. It's not as flavorful or bitter as a pellet.
Yeah, because you get all that more vegetable matter, all the leafy stuff that's in there.
It's almost soapy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you get more vegetable matter in there.
I don't really know if you guys are talking about it right now because I didn't listen, but somebody says, no way, nucleation points make CO2 come out of the solution so it looks like more firm, but it is not.
Yeah, that's a good point.
That's a good point.
Okay.
Most people think they have flat beer when it's done fermenting, but you don't. You have probably about one and a half volumes of CO2 in there.
Okay.
So there's CO2 in the solution. It doesn't all just bubble right through, but it's in there. So you have CO2 in there. And that's a good point. You're making the hops come out, and it gives an enucleation points, which are boiling points.
Okay.
And it helps that come out of solution. So that's probably what you're saying.
Oh, that makes – because that's what – I wasn't saying it was fermentation. I'm saying it appears to be fermentation because that's what it looks like.
Oh, you see bubbles.
But you see – and also you see the hops moving up and down just like you do, you know, actually churning in there. You'll see that happen a bit too.
Okay.
So, but it would entirely make sense if it's CO2 coming up at the bottom and even
well,
in the
it's in the solution. Yeah. It's given it a chance to do that.
Okay, fair enough, Mr. No Way Pants. You want to do that question right there, Doc?
Sure.
Go ahead.
Can regular ale yeast ferment wort from a sour mash? Yes, it can. That's how you make whiskey. So, like 2.5 to 3 pH. When you test your wort, when you're fermenting it, it's not at mash pH. It's a lot lower than that. It will drop. Mm. And it works fine. The pH isn't so much the issue with that. But that's how they make whiskey.
All
mostly
right.
Bourbon.
All right. I see you writing another question there, Danielle. If it's important, I'll do it right now. Otherwise, I'm going to do the last one we've got.
I have another couple of important questions. Okay, I'm just going to read this one to you, though, so I don't have to write. Okay. I want to use nitro with my beer. Do I use a nitro beer mix, and what is the best mix? And also, do I need a special tap, or can I just use the Trutflow taps that I have? Or does B3 have a sparkler?
You don't need a spark. You know, what you really need is a Guinness or a stout tap.
Anything with a restriction plate
It's got to have a restriction plate. Now let's go to the first part. It's not a pure nitrogen mix. It's a nitrogen mix. It's about 70% nitrogen, 30% CO2. You got to run it at about 30 PSI. And it doesn't work. It won't work with a regular faucet. It'll just come blowing out of there.
And it's in a nitrogen tank, too.
It's in a nitrogen. It looks like a nitrogen tank. You got to go ask for the beer mix. And most places that do gases will have that. But it comes through at 30 PSI. And with a regular faucet, it's going to blow through there.
Mm.
And with a stout faucet, it has a restrictor plate, which you need the 30 pounds to push it even through that. And that helps break the little bit of CO2 that's in there out.
Okay.
So you need a special faucet, you need a different regulator, and you need the beer mix, which is a 70-30 mix.
B3 is working on that, but we're waiting for the label approvals from our gas provider, and that's a whole law issue and all this other stuff.
So liability. Most of them, most like welding shops or any place you can buy gas, they know what you're talking about.
Okay.
If you need a fresh gas provider,
no, don't even think about that.
Go to Justin's bedroom.
Yeah, that's right.
But it's not pure nitrogen.
Okay. One further question, Dr. Scott. Can I use NO2 in my beer for an extra drowsy character?
An extra what?
Drowsy. D R O W S Y.
Hey, you're right. Yeah,
that's drowsy.
What is that, like Doc when he's stoned?
Yeah.
What's an extra drowsy character?
Nitrogen does not dissolve in the fluid very well. And it's mostly, it little bit does, but it mostly is there to push the extra pressure through that restriction faucet. So it has to do with pressures, partial pressures of gas, and how much is in there. You won't, even if you ran straight nitrogen on it, and you don't have the faucet, you're not going to get what you want out of it. It won't have. It's mostly for mouth feel and the head retention, things like that. So I don't really get the question so much.
All right, no problem. Next question. Can you, and this is actually interesting because it was posted on Brew Club House, so they have been talking about this one.
Okay.
Can you mash or sparge one night, then brew the next day with decent results? What would go bad overnight that would not be corrected by the boil?
It depends. If you can keep the mash at a certain temperature,
if
you let it drop down too low, you're going to get lactic in there. You're probably going to get an infection because it's going to be on there. You're not going to kill everything with a mash temperature in the 150 range. That's how you run a sour mash, which is what you want to have if you're trying to get that lactic character.
Mm-hmm.
You can't boil that out. You can kill all the lactic acid guys that are producing it with the boil, but you're going to have a lactic acid that they produce in there, and you're going to get a sour beer.
Okay.
And you can use that to your advantage if you're doing that sort of thing. If you want to brew a wit like we're doing tomorrow, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you can't. Some people will do the overnight mash, but you got to keep the temperature up there.
Hmm.
But most people say not to do it.
I have a funny story about that, actually.
There's people that do it all the time that do get good results.
Mm-hmm.
But you're not going to scrub. The question here is, can I get rid of it in the boil?
Right.
No.
It'll check the pH of your water.
Yeah. Well, once you get that lactic character in there, mm-hmm. that doesn't boil back out. By boiling it, you're gonna sanitize it and get rid of the lactic acid bacteria, so they won't produce any more. But whatever is in there, you're gonna have carry through in the flavor.
I did a 5-hour mash once with an English brown. I doughed in about 2:30, 3 in the morning. Got up at about 7:30 in the morning. Sparged off at like 110 Fahrenheit from 150.
Yeah.
And entered that beer in the Cal State Fair, and I got a gold.
Wow.
Yeah, Nationals. But
you used to do that because you fell asleep, or what?
That, and I was drunk. And
I want a brew now.
I was just a late brew, but, I mean, I thought it actually helped the beer and the body of the beer and everything. Now I do a 2-hour mash whenever I do it, not 5 hours. But, you know, I wonder about the pH of the beer, you know, and
There was a big thread a couple years back, about people that would do the overnight mash and get up in the morning and do that.
Yeah.
It works if you control certain things.
Okay.
And I don't do it, but there's guys that do it routinely and it works for them. Mm-hmm. But the one thing you got to worry about is, you know, producing things. You're making a nice environment at 130.
Yeah.
You know, 130 or maybe 120 to. You let things happen. You don't let your turkey sit out at 120 for 4 hours waiting for the relatives to get drunk enough to eat. It's the same. That's what happens.
Yeah.
At 150, everything's dead. It's not. It's not. It's gonna hamper everything.
Like turkey disease or something.
Yeah, the turkey's disease.
The turkey's disease.
So watch your mash temperature. If it's gonna drop that much and it stays at 110 for 3 hours,
look out.
You might get some issues.
Somebody just here says, "Marge sparge one night, bring the wort to a boil, turn off burner and cover, then boil the next night. No worries of infections."
Say it again. I got this. Yeah,
the thing. The chicken song is distracting, Dr. Scott.
Yes, it is.
Mash sparge one night, bring the wort to a boil, turn off burner and cover, then boil the next day, no worries of infection. So they think it's fine.
So they're boiling the first night right away, killing everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then just cover.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
It'd probably drop like 40.
Well, if you sterilize it by boiling it.
Yeah.
And then cover it.
Yeah. It's like a closed system again,
it's
right?
It's a closed system again. You're not going to get it. But when you've got 120-degree mash, grains and everything else, and it never got above 150, and then it slowly goes down to 110, you're going to get things.
Mm.
But if you can sparge it off, bring it up to a boil, at least above 150, 160 for 20 minutes, you'll probably be okay. That'll kill off everything that's in there. You're pasteurizing it at that point.
Mm. What was that laugh over there, Daniel? What's going on?
You want to know?
I don't want to know now. Yeah, sure, sure.
Somebody in the chat room wants to know if Jamil calls John Mini-Me.
not yet.
I think that came up once before.
That's a good question, and it brings me to our closing out question for the day. It is for John, as a matter of fact, and it says,
that's
John, I'm doing my first lager. Shall I cold or warm pitch?
Warm pitch.
At what temperature?
68 to 70 degrees.
Which and makes
drop it to 48 to 52 degrees in 12 hours.
Because then you will realize that your lager is going to be free. It's going to taste like a Munich Helles, provided right from Germany.
Nice.
Very nice.
I want to play Stomp the Dog now.
Did they come up with those?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay. I thought I was going to get out of here.
I thought that was Stomp.
No. So the Stomp question for today is, Dr. Scott and John can mutually answer this question.
Okay.
What king is known as the patron saint of beer?
The patron saint of beer.
Is it what king?
Yes. What's wrong with you?
I do a lot of the trivia.
Maximilian the Fourth.
Is that your final answer, John and Dr. Scott? Before you answer, this person has suggested a very nice thing as a prize. He wants to donate all his future prizes anyways, because it's ours. And he wants to donate those prizes to the wives of the BN people, you know, like our listeners.
Wives of the BN people? What is that? Is that like the people under the stairs?
Yeah.
What is that?
To the wives of our listeners. And he wants, this time, he thinks that one of you guys should send out a bottle of your homebrew.
I'll send my homebrew out
Top Shelf.
About 2 months.
He's choosing who it goes to?
Yeah, he chose Top Shelf for this week.
Okay.
So do you guys have an answer?
I'll leave it up to Doc.
Maximilian.
That's incorrect. It is King Gambrinus.
Yeah, that's right.
We've heard that one before.
Yeah.
Did we?
Yeah.
He's right. The thing that's confusing about that question and why I actually try not to use it is that there's a lot of patron saints of beer. Well, there's the patron saint of brewing, the patron saint of beer, the patron saint of brewers, and it's all, they sometimes confuse which one is which. But he's right about that. That's correct.
Yeah.
And all right, so you guys are stumped.
I was confused.
And so now you both have to send a bottle of homebrew to
Top Shelf.
To Top Shelf. So Top Shelf, send John an email and Daniela an email. John P. at the Brewing Network.
Okay.
Daniela at the Brewing Network. And these two will send. What are you going to send them, guys?
Whatever he wants.
Well, I don't know. I think you'd send him your Helles.
Yeah, so do I.
I'll send him.
And
Helles.
Dr. Scott going to send his wit?
I don't know. We'll see.
I'll ship it for you, Doc.
Doc's going to go look through his stash.
Oh, I got some stash.
I'll have 26 cases of bottled beer in 4 weeks.
Wow. Party at John's.
Yeah.
I just checked. I hate bottling.
Yeah.
But I've got 16 kegs. I just counted them today.
You have 16 kegs full of beer?
Yeah.
Where are you keeping all those? I only saw that one fridge in the garage. Well, two fridges there.
I got a chest freezer, too.
Oh, okay.
It holds 8.
Yeah, that'll hold a bunch right there.
Doc, nice. How many beers do you have going to Nationals?
Not that many.
Yeah, right.
Nah, not that many.
Come on. More than 5?
Probably.
Less than 10?
I don't know. I'm lazy. I haven't checked yet.
Yeah.
What is it with you guys? John, Doc, and Jamil have this thing going this year where they're not, none of them are disclosing too much about what they're doing in competition. It's all this big secret competition amongst yourselves that you guys have going on.
Yeah. McDowell has, not to change the subject or anything, has 18 beers supposedly going.
No, I won't have that many. I'm too lazy for that.
How many do you have going, John?
A lot.
More than 10?
lot more.
More than 20.
Less than 20?
More.
More than 20.
Mm-hmm.
What's wrong? You guys do anything?
No.
You guys just brew.
Guys brew, man. That's all we do. Brew beer and bottled beer and talk with you about beer.
Good for you guys, man.
Yeah,
that's
buddy.
Cool.
And drink beer with you, too.
Yeah. I'm going to try to brew this week again.
Really?
Yeah.
Hey, you got to clear that carboy.
What?
Yeah. I'm trying that pale ale I screwed up again.
2% alcohol pale ale?
Still trying to get that goddamn pale ale right.
Might throw some Beano in it.
Yeah, I'm going to throw some Beano in there. I wonder if that would work, too.
You
like
should.
Not only bringing down the carbs, which I actually wouldn't want to do, but if it does the anti-gas effect on me, it might help.
Yeah, it will.
You might have
it will.
You think so?
Yeah, because usually the beers that have the residual sugars,
yeah.
Like the big Belgians and the barley wines and stuff.
See, that's why. Because I was drinking Belgians all night the night before.
Yeah, farting sugar, man.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's the unfermentable sugars that your body can't handle.
Yeah.
They fermented in themselves.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
The bacteria in your gut does handle them.
Gotcha.
And they pump out the methane.
It smells like alcohol.
We should come up with a greatest hits CD that we can sell, and we'll call it Pumping Out the Methane. The Brewcasters, Pumping Out the Methane.
I'll give you my tip. Ready?
Yeah.
Take a little sip of coffee in the morning about 8 o'clock.
Oh, dude.
That'll just clean you out.
Yes, it will.
I do it every day.
Oh, you take a dump on company time?
Yeah.
Bastard.
All right, we're out of here. Enjoy The Sopranos tonight, everybody. Next week, we're doing the sanitation show. Chris Graham's going to join us again for that.
Cool.
And we also have Ralph Olson from... Is that next week?
A week after.
That's the week after. Oh, that's right. On the 26th. This is a cool one. I'm excited about this show. I know Ralph, too. Ralph Olson from Hop Union, and that is basically the biggest hop distributor in the Pacific Northwest.
The Hop Depot.
Yeah, he's a real cool guy. Lots of fun. Really passionate about his business and the hop industry. And so I don't know if it's going to be an all-hop show. It's a call-in he's doing with us, but it's going to be just a real cool segment. If you want to know about how they're grown commercially and how fresh they are and how long his hops sit around and all sorts of stuff like that,
yeah.
He's the guy to ask. That's going to be real cool.
It's cool to ask him about the new strains of hops that are coming out.
Yeah.
I won a contest, and one of my prizes was this hop, and it was a few years ago, and it was Newport. I never heard of Newport.
Really?
What the hell is this? So I actually ran into him, and I said, what's this? And what does it do, and how can I use it? And he told me what it is and what can I expect out of it and things, but I had never even heard of that one before.
He's cool. Last time I saw him, he also had this hop liqueur and gave me a drink of that. It was awesome. It was awesome. It was imported from Germany, and he had just a couple of bottles of it, and he was giving out just a couple of shots. You weren't there. It was in Oregon. Danielle is all pissed off I didn't give her any. But it was when I was up at the Portland Brewfest. And, yeah, he's just a cool guy. And he's a lot of fun and got some good information. So tune in for that. That's the 26th. And then next week we're starting a series. And we'll give you more details about that soon. But the first show in the series is going to be sanitation. And we're going to go all through the brew process for you guys, starting at the beginning. So we're starting right there with sanitation. And that's next week.
They killed Tony.
Are you not supposed to know that?
They didn't.
The intern is saying so, and he has repeated that for 5 times now.
Oh, he's just messing with you.
There's no show without Tony. I'll tell you what, if they did kill Tony, I'm never watching. It's a stupid show, and it's dumb and stupid.
Wow. You got
in the proper tunes, they whacked Tony.
That's
if
correct.
They did, it would be a whack.
Unless Carmella killed him.
Did I tell you guys a story about how... who is it? It's my great grandfather got whacked.
Yeah, that's true. Great grandfather.
Yeah. Did I tell you guys that?
Yeah, well, sure.
I'll do a real. You want a quick version?
I do.
Because I want to go. It's a good story. I'll keep it on the. I'm all excited. Poor guy.
It is. Yeah. Well.
My great grandfather actually got whacked, and he got whacked old school style, sitting in a barber chair. He was sitting in a barber chair.
A knife?
He got shot up right there.
Bullet to the head.
The tragic part of it is that my grandmother, so his daughter, was right upstairs like when it happened. And I don't know if she had come down when it happened or what, but they lived above this barber shop.
Wow.
So she was right upstairs. And he's down sitting in the barber chair. And the deal was that there was a... God, I hope no maid guys are like listening. I'm not giving any names, I guess. It's not my name. It's a different family name. But the guy was screwing around not only with a maid guy's wife...
Oh, jeez.
but with his daughter as well.
At the same time.
He was messing around. Not like at the same like moment.
No, but
yeah,
like...
it wasn't like a three-way.
History of it.
But he was messing with the same maid guy, his wife, and that guy's daughter. He was screwing around with the two of them.
Is just dumb.
This is my great-grandpa.
What year was this?
I 50s? Don't know. Yeah.
Yeah, I think it was 50s.
Yeah. So he's messing with both of them, and they whacked him. He's sitting there getting his face shaved, and they came into the barbershop, and they whacked him right there in the chair.
And nobody could complain. That's the thing in a family.
No, you can't because you don't mess with a maid guy's ladies. You just don't do it.
So, then, they gave him a lead cocktail.
That they did.
He died of lead poisoning.
My dad's telling me the story like it's a sad story because it's about my grandma's dad and stuff. And me, I'm like, really? That's awesome. That's like the best family story I have. I thought it was great. And he's like, dude.
It is a great story.
It's good. He's like, what's wrong with you, man?
I've always been fascinated by that stuff anyway.
Yeah.
The mob.
Yeah, absolutely. Wanted to get married to a mob guy.
You are, almost.
You could grow up gaudy.
All right, guys. So tune in next week for the Sanitation Show. Enjoy The Sopranos tonight. I'm quite sure Tony doesn't die. If he does, there will be no show for a month.
Memorandum.
He'll be in mourning until then. Thanks, everybody. We'll see you next week. Pale ale is a friend of mine, and I sure like good barley wine. Chocolate porter, cherry stout. Don't you know what I am talking about? Don't you give me that American crew. Boys, I want a real homebrew. Don't you really love it? Homebrew, can't get enough of it. Homebrew, it blows my mind. I love homebrew all the time. Yeah, I think I have it. Well, I have the one right now. Best friend, I think I'll have them all over again. But don't you give me that American crew. Boys, I want a real homebrew. Homebrew, don't you really love that homebrew? Can't get enough of it. Homebrew, it blows my mind. I love homebrew all the time. Yeah, I think I'll have that. Well, I'll have that one right now. Okay.